Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the C.J. Miller Show on In 5D Radio. I'm your host, C.J. Miller, also known by Claudia. And I'd like to just give a shout-out to everyone, say good evening, good day to you, wherever you are, around the world, around the universe. And thanks so much for joining us tonight. Today is May 6, 2014. Happy spring, everyone. Thank God it's spring here in upstate New York. It's a little cold, but it's the trees are budding. It's just beautiful. And tonight we are back with episode 5 at the amazing and fabulous Franco Di Nicola. And I'd like to say welcome back, Franco. Let's see if he's in the studio. This is the thing, people. I am not seeing Franco yet on the board. So we're going to have to just wait for him to call in and hopefully, maybe he's having a little issue with his connection, so we'll just give him a few minutes. But I'm just so happy to be here with all you guys tonight. And, you know, I was talking with Franco today, and as many of you know, Franco's had 3 different shows in the past week. He did a show with Missy Hill, he did a show with Elizabeth Diamond, and he also did a show with his usual friend and confidant, the Antonia Hoggins, wonderful radio host and woman who has Masterpiece Life. Those were all such great shows. There was so much information. And that was just last week, so we really don't want to repeat a lot of what has already been said. But this is a really intense time. And so I know it's going to be a great show. We have some awesome questions from you guys, so thank you so much for giving us your questions and really putting a lot of thought into it. So let's see. You know, I might have to try and call Franco and see. Oh, here we go. We just got a message from him. So let's check this out. You know, sometimes these things happen, people. Bear with us. And where is that message? I just saw it. All right. So I don't know what's happening, you guys. I don't know where Franco is. So I guess, here we go. I'm going to check this message here. Yeah. Maybe it's on my text. Hold on, people. Sorry for this. Oh, okay. So here's a message from Franco. His system is down. He's trying to reboot for the 3rd time, and he will call in as soon as he can. So he is with us in spirit, no doubt, as all of you are. And it's wonderful to be back with all of you guys again. And such a nice community we've been creating with this show, with my show with Franco and my show with Matthew Bueno. I might as well tell you that I have a show next week with Matthew Bueno. That'll be Tuesday night. And that'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Okay, we're still waiting for Franco. And if you hear a screaming child in the background, that's just my beautiful daughter being put to sleep so happily. Not by me. Here we go. I have a feeling this is Franco. Let's check it out, people. Hello. Hello, Franco.
Hello. Finally made it on.
Woohoo! Yay. Oh, man. You had me. I was a little nervous, but then, you know, I was trying to be cool.
But, I think I was just testing you because all the systems were down and nothing would want to start. And I kept rebooting and it just would not go. And then finally it did. So I figured I was thinking about you and I go, I wonder what she's in right at this moment.
Well, I guess we'll figure it out when we listen to the replay. We'll hear how I sounded, but
you know, I was hanging out with the peeps, hanging out with our group of people who are awesome listeners. So, and I was saying that you were with us in spirit. So, of course, we were still connected, even if we weren't, like, online with you. But now you're here, and I'm so happy you're here. And, you know, so how are you, aside from this this little snafu thing here going on? How's it going, Franken?
Well, it's going okay. I mean, there's lots going on at the moment, so my platter's always busy, can't get to everybody. So besides that, just going crazy busy, everything else is fine. I mean, you know, dealing with the stuff I work behind the scenes sometimes can be a bit of a challenge, but, you know, I do manage with it, and lately, especially with, and I'm not saying just for myself, but it's for the majority, there's been some pretty strong energies coming through, and a lot that has been changing on so many levels that, you know, people are feeling quite challenged, quite overwhelmed sometimes. Sometimes they feel quite intense. Sometimes they feel like they're losing it or whatever. But again, it's all part of the reprocessing, changing, rewiring, and all this stuff that's going on. And you know, we've agreed to, at this point, to go through this phase, which, you know, is going to carry on for a little while longer, at least this stream that's going through. So anyways, we're playing with life and moving on. Mm-hmm. So how about yourself?
Well, you know, aside from the beginning of the show, and my daughter is being put to sleep, and she's doing a little bit of screaming, so I'm actually so happy to be with you guys. This is to be with you, Franco. And as I've said to you before, and I've said to our audience, this is like one of my greatest joys in life, to be in this space and to help expand consciousness with you and to talk about this kind of stuff. So I am so excited. I'm just trying to get settled in because I kind of have a little ADD brain, so if I'm hearing, and I'm a mom, so if I hear crying, it's not always easy for me to, maybe you could help me, Franco, help me, like, focus, and I don't know, everybody can send my daughter some nice vibes to help her calm down and go to sleep easily.
Well, I mean, she's part of the group, too, so in a sense, it doesn't matter what she's doing on the background, resisting or not. Or if she gets a little loud. I mean, there's no, you know, we don't have to be in a situation that everything has to be perfect and everybody has to be silent. Just let her do her part. You do what you feel guided to do, which is basically at this point in time to be together, you know, all playing together with the group. And and your daughter will be fine, whatever she needs to do. So bring yourself in the moment, and here you are. This is your moment. And
all right.
You get pulled from this moment to look at the other moment with your daughter. That's fine, too. No problem.
Thank you. I always feel better when I talk to you, Franco. So, and I know that, like, that's why people are tuning into the show, because they always say that, like, you just get a feeling of peace when they're listening to you. And it's great energy, and always, you know, just the feeling that everything's perfectly in order, no matter how it is, and there's no judgment. And so it's just great to have you back with us. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago since our last show. This time, it feels like it just happened like a couple of weeks ago or a week. Doesn't it seem like this last month
it does.
Flew by?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It does, actually. And I'm pleased to be back again and to have this opportunity to play with you. And, I mean, we're co-creating the show. We're co-creating all of our experiences. I mean, we're sharing amongst each other what, you know, we are bringing into the table, on the table, whatever you want to call it, energetically. And, you know, we're coming together because we're assisting each other, supporting each other energetically, transformationally on a conscious level, so that we can all do our part, and that's what we're doing. So it's a pleasure to connect with all the beautiful souls now and whenever they do listen to the recording, to be part of it, to be part of this beautiful movement that we are doing together.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. And I just want to give a shout-out to people in the chat room, too. We have a lot of people in the chat, Franco. Missy Hill is one of them. So I want to say hi to Missy Hill.
Hi,
you had
Missy.
An interview. Hi, Missy. We say hi to Gemini Moon. She's a regular listener. Hi to Free Energy Grid. And anyone else who is there with us and is just a little shy. Who's not. So, you know, it's always, I'm really so psyched to be with this group of people that, you know, this community that's like kind of sprung up around this show. And I know a lot, you've brought a lot of your own listeners, but also I think there's been some, you know, people who just kind of learned about you. And there's always people learning about you for the first time. And I just want to, anybody who's new to Franco, just to remind you to check out his website. It's francodinicola.com. And, you know, Franco, is your website all completely updated? And
well, it's completely functional at the moment. There's a couple of things we want to tweak along the way to make it more efficient, but we're, you know, that's not going to really cause any delay at the moment. I mean, it's not the way exactly the way we want it in the flowing way. But it's all the resources are there. We have basically, you know, all the shows are there. We have also the different modalities and so forth we've done through Masterpiece Life. I also have videos and so forth. And these resources are there, all available for people to access. And the reason it's there is to help each other to move forward. I mean, we're doing this collectively, so the more that go through a transformation, especially now there's a lot of, you know, confusion around things, what's happening, what, you know, what people are experiencing, what's coming up. You know, a lot of it seems strange for people because, first of all, they may have dealt with it at some point or felt that they did. Other things that are just left wing or left center, whatever you call that, a statement where it comes from, you know, a place where you don't really recognize and say, well, why is stuff like that going on? And then really understanding what's going on and how to really understand our true nature, how we actually function, what is really taking place within ourselves, what, you know, we do and don't do, how we do it, how to manage. I mean, because there's a lot of information out there. However, we wanted to provide something that is very neutral, very open, very source-based, because we don't want to create another belief. We don't want to create another story. What we provide, I provide through all the medias that I do use, is to create an activation within each person so that they resonate, they actually access what they already know. So what you're doing is just waking it up, or, you know, going through the different programs and so forth that, you know, we've taken on, conditioning through, you know, our education, through our, you know, exposure, media, religion, you name it. So we're going through all that. And this is what the awakening process, because we go beyond all of that. Everybody is just filtering through and clearing all that stuff. Plus, you know, we have all of the stuff that we adopted in our lives as we go through the journey of life. And it's not only this life, we're also dealing with stuff that we have taken on, you know, from past lives, from lineage, being from the family dynamics and so forth, extending back several generations and so forth. And those are all, again, you know, we've taken it on, now it's coming up, and right now, and I've said this before, because of what we're going through, this rapid transformation, this awakening process that we're going through, this is one of the first times that we're able to address so many different levels of things that we never used to do before. For example, dealing all the different experiences, and everything is accelerated, so the experiences come and go really quickly, and it's not, we don't even have the same level of delay that we used to have before, where we would have a certain experience and then there would be time to, you know, absorb, to, you know, process and to, you know, make an adjustment. And sometimes that can go on for months and months, you know, or years or lifetimes, you know. But we are not doing that any longer because we have chosen to expedite everything. So everything's coming up very quickly at this point, right? So we give whatever tools is possible to assist in
and
that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I just was thinking back to when you and I first connected. That was almost, I don't know if it was 2 years ago or just a year and a half ago. And you were so nice with, like, just being very
I mean, maybe now you don't have as much time to respond to people personally because everybody wants a piece of you. But I thought you were just so, you're so approachable and so kind, and you, and just so much information and so many great links you provided me. And I remember I was just like listening to your stuff for months. I mean, I still listen to your stuff all the time, but there is a lot you can listen to. I mean, you have a great storehouse of information, and then on Masterpiece Life, all the clearings listed. It's, you know, very well organized, and yeah. So, and you've got some great things coming up. You got some great events coming up this summer, and we'll save a little time maybe at the end of the show to talk about that, because I'm excited about the event in Toronto with Masterpiece Life, and then you're going to have some stuff going on with Collective Evolution. So we'll definitely talk about that a little bit at the end, because we want to let people know what's happening for you and what they can look forward to. And mm-hmm. But like you were saying, it's a really intense time. It's always an intense time, I guess. But you know, we have some great questions. I know you and I talked earlier today about what we would discuss on the show, and I was before, when we were waiting for you to arrive on the show, we were talking about how many shows you did this past week, and you did three different shows, right?
Yeah.
Three different radio. Yeah. So it's like, so I basically told people we didn't want to be do a repeat of everything that you've already said, because they can access all that information. So we really want this to be fresh and new. So even though I've tried to listen to all the information to brief myself, I just want to say to you, Franco, like if there's something that's a total repeat question, feel free to tell me that it's in another interview and that we can refer people to that, because mm-hmm. I know that there's plenty of stuff we can find to talk about tonight, you know?
Absolutely. And if it's necessary to repeat anything with a different twist or something like that, then it will be, because it's exactly what people need to hear. I mean, we provide whatever, you know, dynamically we call forth, because all the souls are, we're connecting, and what we need to hear, what we need to share is what will come up. So it's always mm-hmm. always perfect. So, I mean, I just flow with things, and we let it just unfold, because, you know, as much as I play a role in this, but everybody's a navigator here, so, you know, mm-hmm. as much as, you know, you put your intention in your own heart, if there's something you want addressed, it will be addressed one way or another, if it's necessary or beneficial. And whatever question that somebody may have will address a lot of people's different questions and also bring clarity to a lot of people, too. So, you know, mm-hmm. some people say, well, there's never a stupid question. Well, there isn't, because it doesn't matter if it's been asked or, you know, we should know by now or something of that nature, which is kind of the belief system we may have. It's always perfect in the way it needs to present, and whatever is there, we're there. Well, let's play with it now, and let's play with whatever. And if there is something specific mm-hmm. that we have to get into details, and I've already explained very detailed at some point, then yeah, we'll just
okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So this is episode number 5, and this is becoming a really fun. I'm just really enjoying the series with you, and it's nice because tonight we, the topic again is discernment, right? So because this is like a follow-up or continuation of last month's show, because, you know, so why did we choose to do this, to talk about? I'm a little confused. I'm just joking, but really,
well,
so.
Yeah. Again, it does. That's kind of a starting point, and then it'll just go along. I know we had some leftover questions that we had kind of promised that we would address this time around, so we will do that. And then we'll just, you know, we'll flow whatever direction. It doesn't matter. Like I sent you on one of the messages, is just that we'll just go wherever it needs to go. I mean, we're not, because we've covered one title, it doesn't mean that's where we stay.
Oh, I was actually just trying to make a joke, but maybe, you know, sometimes I'm a little too sarcastic, and people don't realize that I'm joking. So it's like saying I'm confused,
it's fine. It's
because
perfect.
You know, confusion to discernment or what, you know, that was what we what we were trying to. That's the idea with discernment, right? Is that if you're able to kind of check something with your, like, check in with something and see if it resonates with you. See if it really feels right to you. And I think it is a great topic to keep going with, because not only are a lot of the questions based on that kind of theme, but also it's become really apparent to both of us in our talks and talks with other people and things that we've noticed in our lives, that a lot of people, especially people that or in the New Age, or I know we don't want to use the New Age word, but like in the spiritual movement or awakening or the ascension process, that many people who consider themselves to be healers or light workers, you know, can be attracted to different information, channeled information, or, you know, people, new people that are really interesting and intense and working with energy, or, you know, just able to bring out really, you know, like really great psychics, or somebody who just is able to read people very deeply. I mean, people get really excited about this stuff, Franco.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've both seen people that maybe believe a little too much, or maybe would take information in too much. Even I've done this myself, and I consider myself to have a high degree of discernment. This is my life focus. Even I can sometimes, in liking somebody so much, I can sort of maybe like kind of let go of my discernment, or in wanting to connect with somebody, or wanting to believe what they're telling me. I might even like just sort of lose my own center in connecting with them energetically. And earlier today, you and I were talking about this and how, you know, it can be really exciting and really fun to be able to learn how to work with your own personal energy, to tune into your soul, and to be able to see energy move around you, or to be able to heal people, or to be able to find out things that are going to happen in the future. But there can be, you know, issues of it basically destabilizing people, or, you know, people not being able to find what's really true for them in their hearts. So I wonder if you could kind of talk about that for our listeners today, and open up to that idea of how do we discern. And how do we check in with our hearts, with our higher selves, when we maybe aren't, you know, when we're feeling merged with somebody, or when we really like somebody and maybe we're not completely in our right minds? Does that make any sense? Am I making sense with this question?
Yeah, you are. I know what you mean, and. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking, the first thing I wanted to bring up is that, you know, there's a lot of different people that are, you know, channeling, that are doing exactly what you said. You know, they're psychic or you know, reading or tuning into, you know, resources that are coming from, you know, from a higher consciousness at times. Sometimes it's coming from another planet, you know, being from a different race or something of that nature. So the reason that the information is being channeled through is because that's what is being tuned into based on the person's energy field, their state of consciousness, and so forth. Now, the one thing I want to say is no matter what you channel, it's perfect, okay, in one level. Because what happens is it's just the fact that we're getting whatever particular information coming in is something that we are inviting to come through us. Now, if it may not be 100% accurate, for example, it may be looking at a different timeline, it may be looking at a different parallel world, or maybe looking at a different, you know, frequency in where the what do you call it, where the information is coming from, a different, how can I say it, another realm of that really are not exactly to ours. And when it's being read from a distance or something of that nature, you're going to get information that may not be completely getting the whole message to be aligned with our frequency, for example. But if somebody gets drawn to that, like you said, you like somebody, you get drawn to that, and you know, get engaged with that, and you open up to that information will come through. Now you will start to act through the information or utilize it in one way or another. And along the way, you'll notice different things as you're going through. And it's not that you're making a mistake, even if the information is not 100% in the same timeline or something that really would play out here, or that you're getting the oldies channel, for example, something from a timeline that was already played out that is not a potentiality anymore. You know. So if any of that is coming through, okay, we're going to utilize whatever we can from it. But at the same time, we're also going to notice that what matches and doesn't match us. So, for example, somebody can go in and go, wow, that's great, you know, because it's something they haven't heard. It's something outside, especially people that are when they're going through the awakening process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're used to the regular world. They're used to what we see on the planet. And on the planet, we're very restricted in the operating system because of how it was set up, and which is changing right now. But very restricted. So the information gathering would be from institutions, from different organizations, through the media, through education, through people communicating back and forth. And it has a certain limit to what is covered. So somebody's now hearing something coming from a different perspective, totally outside in many cases from what we're used to, it is very appealing at times. And especially if you're walking in with wanting a change. For example, somebody is not satisfied with life in its existence, and many people are not, because of the fact that we've, you know, gotten to a point of massive saturation of us, you know, playing out this game. So when this information comes in, and say it's shared that, you know, in a short period of time we have the event, or we have this coming up, or that coming up, or whatever it is, it builds up hope, it builds up an excitement, and it's like, wow, okay, there is something there. So the person will take on that information and will, you know, start going along the way. However, you know, there could be situations along the way that you find that the timelines don't match, or, you know, they're not unfolding when they say, or you get a little bit more disappointed in the fact that, oh, what's happening? How come it's not occurring? These, you know, those experiences are really activating your own programs, showing you some of the things that are playing out in within yourself. So you've just served yourself by doing so. Now, the other thing is, too, at some point, after you get certain information that kind of not, you know, does not match, or for some reason doesn't unfold exactly, and I'm saying all of them so, it's just the ones that don't, you start to now build up, tap into, activate your discernment. So all of a sudden you start going into, okay, I hear this information, how does it resonate for me? But going on the goo-goo-gaga excitement in the beginning, meaning, okay, new information, wow, you know, I'm all excited. Going beyond that and say, okay, well, how does this match? Does this look like something? Does it feel like something that can unfold at this point in time? So your discernment starts to increase, and you start to now filter through the information and just pick what's there, because I'm not saying that there isn't information that's correct or that matches our timeline. It might not be 100%, but you're going to start taking in what you know is appealing. You know, resonates with you is probably the best word for it. So what resonates with you, and then the rest of it, you say, okay, no, I don't quite resonate with that. Now, even when we're talking about resonating and non-resonating, this is interesting because we may have talked about it this before. I'm not sure. Because I do, you know, share things, and then I don't recall who I shared it with. But with
I'm
resonating,
not sure.
So, yeah, sometimes the question comes up, and you say, well, you know, it resonated for me when I heard it at first, you know, or, you know, it resonated with me, but now it doesn't resonate with me any longer. Well, it's not that your discernment was off. It's not because your inner guidance is not really accurate or honed in or anything of that nature. You need it for you to take on whatever was shared and have it resonate for you so that you can go down a certain path, you can create a certain shift within yourself or do something that would match what is coming through. Now, later on, once you've walked down the path, you realize that your consciousness is expanding, your viewpoint is expanding, you're seeing things differently, you're now much clearer within yourself, and now when you're looking at the same information, it no longer resonates with you. So what happened? Well, now you are ready for something that is beyond that message, and so what brought you where you are today was that particular message to start off with, but now you're in a position where you are now more prepared and more in tune to utilize your discernment and your state of resonating or not in a, at a different level. So, of course, now you're going to have certain other things coming along. So you're not going to look at, well, you know, I was off and I really gone down the wrong path. There is no wrong path. There are situations in our life, and this applies in all aspects. You can go down a certain path and create certain intense experiences, or sometimes we can call it poor choices, or we can look at it and say, well, I got in this particular relationship, I should have known better, or I should have not made this agreement with somebody, I should have known better, or, you know, I shouldn't have, you know, gone and did this, I should have known better. Well, you have to understand that all this applies across the board. The fact that you made the choice, the fact that you went in there, doesn't matter really what unfolded from that. The choice was made on a state of consciousness that was there at that time, and you needed down that, to go down that path. That had certain, you know, experiences, outcomes, intensities, or whatever it may be along the way for you to do self-tuning. Remember, you are tuning yourself. You are, you know, accessing higher consciousness. You're accessing your true essence within yourself. Sometimes you need to go through different experiences to get you there. Now, if you are in a state of consciousness that you didn't need it, of course you're not going to go down that path. But that's why I always say that there's no right or wrong, good or bad, and there's nothing right that you can choose that is off. So you can get into, for example, a bad relationship, what, you know, what we would call in a human mind in the program, say, well, I got into a bad relationship, and because of this, you know, my life went down this path. Well, you didn't get into a bad relationship. You got into the perfect relationship of that time that had agreements soul to soul to play out very specific roles to activate, to learn from, to make changes within yourself, to bring you where you are now. That was needed to happen. So now it comes to the point where the relationship no longer serves, the agreements are done, so you now part. Now, does it mean that you made a mistake? Absolutely not. You cannot make a mistake. You went down that path. Now, of course, you have the other aspect and say, well, if I was just a little bit more conscious, I wouldn't have made that choice. True enough, however, you weren't there, and that's what was needed. Now, you have to understand, the choice of that relationship is not a choice made of the mind, even though it has plays a role, because at times, how many times have we got into relationships which makes absolutely no sense to us, and I'm just using this example, that makes no sense to us, but meanwhile, we're drawn to go that direction. And then we get into the relationship, we have whatever unfolds, you push each other's buttons, do whatever, and then realize, what the heck happened here? Why? I knew from the mind level, I can look at it, it made no sense. And I don't care if you have a checklist and you go there, doesn't meet this, doesn't meet that, doesn't meet that, definitely scratch this one out and have all those checklists, you were still drawn, you still went through that particular experience, and now you're done with the experience because that was necessary. And you were the navigator and the one that was in charge of creating that. It wasn't anything outside of you, right?
Right, right. That is
so
true.
So the same thing with, go ahead.
No, you keep going.
Well, the only thing I was going to say, that's the same with, you know, when we're going to, you know, getting information, resources from other sources outside of us, or what we call outside, but they're really other aspects of ourselves on a different realm, different wavelength band or timeline or anything of that nature. So it comes along, and we will take in only what we need. And whatever we don't, we don't. So even if it's not, you know, it's skewed a little bit or takes you down a certain path of belief or whatever it is for a period of time, you're going to hone yourself along the way because of it. You're going to have whatever experience you need. And then, of course, you're going to shift. You're going to go in a different direction. So there's a perfection in that respect. Now,
right.
I'll let you do your part before I jump into the rest of it.
Oh, you know, because, you know, based on what we were talking about, you know, and my experiences, and also the experiences of my very close friends, you know, what I'm thinking about is, and this is kind of a specific based on this, and I've heard other people say this, is this something that's for real, or is this just like our own creation when people say, oh, I've been psychically attacked, or they had an implant in me, I had an implant from the Greys, or I had an implant from such and such, whatever, you know, the reptilians or whoever, you know. This, people talk about these things. Is this really happening, or is this just our own, you know, because these are some of what I would see as pitfalls to getting into this kind of energy work and being really open. And yet sometimes if you're not open, you're not going to learn about these things. So I totally agree with you, what you're saying, and I'm not trying to get off topic of that there's a perfection to it, and it's like orchestrated by us, and we've actually almost like contracted with people to go through this. So if people say they've been psychically attacked, or they feel that they have implants, or their brain is scrambled from learning some kind of energy modality with someone, or being healed by somebody, is that their own creation, or is that actually possible? Can that really happen, Franco? Can people be psychically attacked by another?
Well, you know, the thing is co-created, first of all. Second of all, it applies to the rest of what I said there, because it still serves regardless. Now, does implants exist? They do exist. They're energetic implants. Then, of course, you know, there are some that have a physical form in a sense, but most of it is energetic implants. But the implants is something that you allow to take on. It's not put or imposed on you or anything of that nature. It is agreed upon, and then it is your state of consciousness, your energy that makes it active and operating. Because if you do not, it's like this. It's like you put a channel chip in you so that, and you know, the implants sometimes restrict you from going to a certain area because you're not ready for it. Other times is that it keeps you down in a certain bandwidth of experiences or intensities until you get all your stuff learned and done from that, and then the implant becomes inactive in that case. So regardless, you know, does it happen? Yes. Is it imposed on you? No. Can it be activated and deactivated? Yes. Are we always in charge of it? Yes. It's not like you have something coming on, even though it was put on by, you know, a modality of some sort. And, again, it is your participation to go into that modality, whatever that may be, that you've chosen to go down that path, so you now have that implant. Now, the implant will last whatever period of time it needs to. The psychic attack part, I mean, that needs to be clarified, because can you be psychically attacked? There are people that will operate in a certain frequency that will stream a certain energy, okay, psychic energy. It would be up to the person that is the recipient to be in that bandwidth to be able to pick it up. So that means I can have a channel of information. For example, you have a radio station. Unless somebody tunes into that radio station, you cannot force somebody to change the channel, or you just go in there, because unless they go into the same frequency, which in most cases happens too. So if somebody walks in and says, I got psychically attacked, all you do is the person walked in at a certain frequency to be able to access that, to create a certain experiences for them to learn from and to shift or to activate certain programs, and that's all it's really about. So is it coming from outside? No. It's like anything. Somebody comes to yell at you or get angry with you or get into a fight with you or something like that.
Right.
Well, is it that person that came out to do that? No, that person came out to play a role. You ask for the person to play that role, and you're not going to know that part, and that role actually activates certain programs with you. So this stuff. So somebody's doing, say, some type of energy work, and of course it creates pain or creates discomfort or creates, you know, certain adjustments where it scrambles the brain. So something of that nature, when that happens, per se, what it's done is actually that procedure activated some stuff that was already there that would have caused some confusion. Now, were you ready for it? Well, if somebody was had it happened, then it would happen. But then it would be the opportunity for you to look at, oh, okay, that does not match what I choose to experience, or it does not match with what, you know, the experience I require or want to. But you're going to learn that first. You're going to say, oh, okay, great. And sometimes people are just running to anything and everything. And then, again, that's just another opportunity to learn that, you know, you need to, it's not that you need to, you'll notice that you will now go in and tune in and say, do I need to go through this or not? You know, because the thing is, there are certain processes that, you know, are being offered, and then it's up to you to go through it. Now, if you go through it and you have the particular experience, you needed to go through it because you asked for that part of it. Now, what I find is if you're at a certain frequency outside of the range that you need to play out, it doesn't matter if you go to a room that people are emanating at a certain frequency that others would be psychically attacked, if you want to call it that, or, you know, be affected by it, or even a modality that would activate something within the person, the other person that's going in a certain vibration wouldn't have no experience with threat, would be completely neutral from it, and it doesn't matter if they're dancing and cooking, you know, doing rituals or whatever they're doing, it would not affect them, because not only affect them, because they're outside the range. It's like you're on a different channel altogether, right?
Right.
Because
yeah.
I mean, I get asked a lot of times, you know, you go to people and so forth, do you feel other people's energies? Yes, I do feel other people's energies, but I'm not affected by the other people's energies. It doesn't matter if I go into a room, everybody's negative, everybody is, you know, playing with certain modalities that are of low vibration. Yeah, they can have fun, do whatever they need to do, and I'm not affected by it. But at some point in time, if I feel that I cannot be of service there, then I'm not there. But in most cases, the fact that I showed up there, I'm just giving you just an example, mm-hmm. whatever I'm emanating will transform whatever they're going through. In most of the cases, I've seen, you know, a conversation start up or something gets going, and it creates a shift. And it's the same for everybody. I'm not just saying for myself, but I'm just saying anybody.
Yeah.
So to go in with the idea that I have to protect myself, you're the victim. You activate the victim
right.
state. Now you have victimizer. You're now putting yourself on a polarity. Guess what? You become a magnet. The moment you're afraid, the moment you create the idea that I need to be protected, now you're creating negative. Something is more powerful than I am. Something is stronger, and I could be easily victimized. I can be easily go down that path. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Well, not really, because in a sense, that's the state that you're in. However, you're going to have certain experiences and then eventually realize, wait a minute, I don't have to keep empowering this. There are no victimizers. We're all role players. If I play a certain frequency or a certain state of consciousness, of course I'm going to have other members to come and play, because they're showing me that I am stuck on there. So if I'm stuck in victimized state, fear state, of course you're going to have people that come to probe you, play a certain role to activate
mm-hmm.
the fear.
Right.
So that you can see that I am still a fearful person, and I can see why I'm fearful, because I still see myself less than, or, you know, that something is more powerful than I am. Because it doesn't
right.
matter what level you're at, you know, even when you're what you so-call healing and stuff like that. So let's go to
mm-hmm.
the positive side. You know, somebody wants a healing. It depends on what state they're going in. If they're
mm-hmm.
in a state of ready to shift, because that's all you're doing in the healing. You're shifting their vibration. You're shifting their state of consciousness. You're shifting an experience. That's all you're doing. You're not healing because
mm-hmm.
nobody's ever broken. However, when you're going in there, it depends on the person that is the recipient, because ultimately it doesn't matter if the healer, so-called, and let's use that because that's what we know as a reference, someone that is playing that role that is emitting a certain frequency to create transformation, the recipient is the one that really governs how much of it is play. Now, even if it's superimposed and put on, so the person says, I want it, I want it, I want it, and the healer, per se, does the process, you'll notice that the process is not as effective in some cases. In other cases, it can be, but it doesn't last. It's something
mm-hmm.
shift back out of it, because state of consciousness has not shifted yet, right? So there's still stuff that they are learning from it. So it's the same like any of it, because it's all the same. It's positive or negative. You're only going to bring in whatever you need to activate and accentuate whatever experience you require so that you could move forward, especially now. I mean, now we're not only in the experiential realm, we're in the purge and clear. We're doing whatever possible to wrap up, clean up, move on from any experience that we have not finished at one point or another. So that's how it's being played at this time. So I just wanted to bring that because, you know, that you brought up a good point, you know, the whole thing. Because look at it, you know, I'm sure you've noticed, Claudia, to see, you know, when people come in, well, I got psychic attack, you know, and they're fearful. Guess what they're operating? They're operating in the very frequency that supports it, the very frequency that invited it in. Now, the invitation was there to just show you that you're still at that state, and you did it yourself. You said, please, show me again. Put on the blinker lights. Let me see that I'm still in that victimizer state, or feel that I'm, you know, not capable managing my own state. Because that's an illusion. Because it's not. There's no truth to that. It's just an illusion that we're not in charge. We're always in charge. We've never stepped out of charge. The fact that somebody's doing something to us, it doesn't mean that I've given my... Because even we talked about it in one of the other talks about standing your ground and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, you know. It's just like, standing ground to what? What? Oh, somebody's playing a role, and you're the recipient of that role, and you're saying, oh, no. You play the role only up to this level, and you can't go beyond that. But they're going to play whatever you need because you've asked them to play as much as you need until you come to the idea. There is no requirement of, you know, of any of that any longer, so you're out of it. So the moment that you're in a neutral state and the moment that you no longer need to set boundaries, the boundaries don't even exist because there is no such thing as boundaries. We created the wave of energy, the role, or whatever it is, to push a certain level, and then at the same time we put out boundaries. So we're creating our own polarities in our own game. And see how beautiful and creative we are. We're absolutely amazing, aren't we?
We are. Everyone, all of us, were amazing. You know, it is a really cool thing what we can do, how we can create with our minds. And as you were talking, you know, so much was coming up for me, and you can really see how it's the same thing when we get it. Like, so I guess what you're saying, and I just want to, like, take this in and just make it real for me. So what I hear you saying is that if, for instance, say even if it was me or something, and I'm like, oh, man, I think I was psychically attacked, you know, I'm sick, and I just was with this person, and, you know, and then I'm feeling like, stupid for getting involved or like believing in that. In the end, I just basically contracted with that person, or we had a soul agreement to meet for them to trigger something within me, and it wouldn't even happen if I didn't have like a program within me that was based on fear or unworthiness or I don't know, fear of like merging with another person or distrust of people, which is all from the programs and how we've been raised, right?
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's again, it's back to the agreements and so and the roles that we've taken on back and forth. I mean, when you could see it that way, Claudia, when you see it that way, for anybody. When you see the perfection, when you can see how it all serves and that you are creating it, you now flow with things. You no longer dread what comes up. You no longer feel that something outside of you is there to control you or knock you down or anything of that nature. You no longer get attached to stuff which is polarized one way or another. You no longer get engaged in the idea that, you know, this is going to take forever to get in it, or I'm never going to change, or anything of that nature. You do not get involved with any of that stuff. You see it coming up, and now you're the observer. Now you're looking at it and say, oh, okay, this has come up. First of all, you realize it's serving me. I activated it, and I activated it for a very specific reason. Let me take a look at what I need to address at this time. Okay. So the thing is, that's the other part that I had talked about in the past, maybe not on your show, is that the idea that some, you know, this thing about laws of attraction and stuff like that, you know, we attract certain vibration based on our vibration. Well, the only reason we would attract anything or it's really not attracting. It's an alignment where the two frequencies meet that are in the same range, is only to activate a certain experience so that we can learn from it and move forward. So the fact of, you know, I was in the wrong vibration, and that's why I had these scenarios or this situation. Well, you were in the right vibration to create what you needed to see and observe so that you can make an adjustment accordingly to match more with the direction you want to go in your life. And when I say in your life, I'm talking about the life of the soul, which is the higher aspect of yourself, not the mind of, oh, I'm going to have more and more abundance, I'm going to do this, I'm going to travel, whatever it is. That is a side package which has really very little value, unless, you know, you're not in a state of consciousness where it wants to move forward, so you're going to just play the role for other people, then you will go down that path. That's fine. So the thing is, to get it all hooked up is, I got to watch out my vibration because I'm going to attract negative stuff. Guess what? Where are you? You know, you're the only reason that you would be there is because of the fact that you're still in that state of consciousness. So it's a matter of expanding your consciousness. It's about realizing that. That's why I say when you're walking in neutrality, when you see everything as a beautiful creation, it doesn't matter how intense it looks, how wrong we may want to judge it at the ego mind, or how we see, oh my God, look what happened. It does not matter how it looks like to the mind. It was created in absolute perfection for you to create an adjustment. So when you're looking at it that way and say, oh, okay, this is coming up. Yes, it stings a little bit. It's very intense, whatever it is. But now let me look at what I can need to learn, what I need to adjust here, and what, you know, I haven't really unfinished business. Then you get right to the point, you do what you need to do, and you go to the next, and then the next, and the next. And it flows. You don't get stuck in it. For example, you get stuck in the whole idea that I got psychically attacked, and you hold on to that, and you remain in a state of, I need to protect myself, and you get caught up in modalities that would support the idea that I have to do this modality to protect myself. Guess what? You're going to stay in that range, and guess what? You're going to have one after the other. So you're going to be caught in that. But you're only caught into it until you come to the realization, wait a minute, I don't need to play with this. What is the state that I'm bringing up? Oh, victimization. Oh, something outside of me. Oh, yes, I'm in this vibration. Right. Oh, okay, great, great. Let me shift. Done. You're not there caught for the next 2 years doing modalities and watching where you're going and throwing salt over your shoulder or, you know, ducking under something. I don't know what the modalities are, but I'm just throwing some things out. And you're not going into that and so cautious about being somewhere because you know, look at it this way. What would be more fun? Going someplace and go, oh, my God, I have to, you know, you pick up the energies of the people around you, or you see certain people you don't like or something of that nature, and you now retrieve yourself and go, I'm getting out of here, I can't stay here, or getting caught up in all of that, or just showing up wherever you go, be ready to have fun and play with whatever is there. It doesn't matter what energy frequency they're at or whatever they're playing out. You're being 100% you, that beautiful light that you are. Don't you think you'll have much more fun just going anywhere and not hiding under anywhere or protecting yourself or being in fear or anything of that nature? Would be a difference there?
What did you just ask me a question? What did you say?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
it's okay. You didn't listen to me. It's all right.
I was listening to you, and I was looking at the chat for a moment, and then I didn't expect you to ask me a question. So I was like, "Huh? I'm so sorry."
I'm trying to multitask.
Yeah, but I'm with you.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
You know, I love you, Franco. I'm totally here with you.
I'm using you to bring a point out. That's all. It's not
okay.
not in that respect.
Go ahead.
The question really was, you know, which one would you enjoy more? I'm rewording it now. What would you enjoy more, going into some place, some function or something of that nature, and walking in there and tuning into people's energy, feeling either uncomfortable or this or not like someone or not wanting to be there because you're going to feel vulnerable or that you're going to be psychically attacked, or to show up anywhere you are and just be around whatever energy is there, being 100% yourself, and be playful with whatever presents for you in regards to whatever, and you're not affected by whatever's going on in the environment. In actual fact, in that state, you become the environmental changer, because now higher vibrational energy always transmutes much of the lower and darker energies, which are just denser energies moving a floor so that people have certain experience. So what you're doing is shifting it. Which one would you like to be?
I would like to be
a
higher vibration.
You want to be protecting yourself?
Yeah. Oh, no. I like the idea of just staying in the high vibration and having that, like, transmute the fear and whatever it is. But I think it is so important, and you're touching upon it perfectly. It is so important when these feelings come up as we notice things happening or whatever it is, that we look into it, you know. And I think that's the gift of having a show like this and then people connecting around it, is that they're able to find other people that they can check in with about this. Because I'm so lucky, you know, I have a best friend, Helene Lipson, who's like who I work with. You know, we do Cosmic Current together. She's a great radio person. She's also psychic and puts on events. So her and I talk every day, and we help each other process things and, you know, be like, oh, my God, you got to hear this. I went through this, and all this program came up, and we've known each other for almost 30 years, so we know everything about each other. We could be like, oh, that's just like your mother. Like, so I'm so lucky that I have that support in my life. But I don't think, I mean, I think a lot of people are really thirsting for that feeling of connection with others. And, you know, you have a lot of people reaching out to you to find a sense of peace. So, I mean, this is why this is so valuable, this time that we spend together. And I know that it's all imperfection, you know, everything that is happening for us. And I think that's the overarching theme here of what you're sharing with us, Franco, is that no matter what's happening, whether we're feeling psychically attacked, whether we're not appreciating, whether we're feeling maybe some pain or getting some kind of energetic work, or whatever comes up in any kind of relationship is all for the highest good, even if it's not necessarily a high vibrational experience. Like, we don't have to protect ourselves. And I guess, you know, that's an interesting one, the idea of protection, because I hear you saying that, and I know that's how you feel. And I know you don't, like, go around surrounding yourself in white light and holding obsidian and taking saltwater baths. I really don't hear you doing that. You're just so neutral, and I know you can be in groups of people. You definitely don't have judgments. I mean, you might have your own personal feelings about people, but obviously, what I feel is that your sense of neutrality is what allows you to not, like, go into those valleys, other than the fact that you're a unified soul and you know, your oversoul is working through you so much. I mean, like, you're an enlightened being, so that really helps. So I don't know if I'm not trying to go down another path here, but I think, you know, the questions that we have for today that are kind of related to this, what I'd like to do is sort of the next question that we go into, I'd like it to be related to this. So, you know, what we're really talking about is the perfection of situations and then also being able to go inward. And one of the questions, can we, like, transition to a new question? Because I'm just looking at the time and I realize it's already been, like, an hour since we've started the show. And I want to make sure we get a chance to get to other people's questions tonight.
Oh, sure,
so,
absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that was really great, though, and people in the chat are really psyched with the information. So, and definitely have some active people, and there's a lot of laughter and a lot of loving feelings, so it's very nice. And, you know, we're in that mode now where the vibration just gets better and better. And I think just being in this space together is a healing time. The next question I wanted to address was from one of our listeners. His name is Fred. And, you know, what he was asking is basically, you know, he was talking about how he notices his own ability to channel information. and that he's kind of just noticing a stream of information coming through. And he's feeling like this is probably, you know, from his higher self or his oversoul. And so his question is, as he's, let's see, I'll just read it out loud. The question is, I'm noticing I'm getting a better connection with something. I wanted to ask Franco how someone could remove blockages or improve the communication with the soul or oversoul or the higher Aluna self. I've never heard that term, Aluna self, but I definitely understand higher self. So does that make sense? So he's basically asking, in order to be in touch, in really good contact with our higher selves, what do you suggest to remove blockages or things that are kind of keeping us from our higher self?
Well, the thing is, our higher selves are always communicating with us. We have our soul that is communicating with us, our soul families that are communicating with us, our twin souls communicating with us, and then, of course, we have the other levels of higher soul. Now, depending on our state of consciousness, the degree of level of what is streaming through you will vary. Now, the question in how do we get out of the way or how do we remove the blocks, really it's just the mind and our state of thought that gets there. Because how many times do we get, you know, there's something going on, we ask for a certain information, okay, and we get an answer, something pops into our mind or some experience or we hear something or something that relates to that. And how often do we find that our mind's going, nah, I don't know about that, or, you know, could that be that easily, or could it be that, or is it just my mind making this up? Is this really a higher aspect of myself or something like that? And that tends to kind of sidetrack us a little bit on that, because if we quieten ourselves, this is the key, is just to quieten the mind and have no expectation, because this is a huge one, you know, and asking for immediate answers in the sense. And when I say immediate answers, saying, okay, there's a situation going on, and what should I do, right? In that case, you're kind of putting yourself in, well, I'm not capable of maneuvering through this, and what should I do? And then whatever answers come along, even if it comes along, you're still doubting it. You're still, second-guessing it, or, well, is that going to really work, or something of that nature. So in essence is really what blocks are there, and not so much the blocks, is the interference, the sound, is really the quiet of the mind. So for somebody maybe just washing the dishes, doing something mundane, and they just ask a simple question, and they're kind of not having any expectation for the answer to look like anything or to come in a certain form or to be in a certain level where, you know, when it comes in that, you know, it has to, you know, be profound or anything of that nature. When you put that aside, then the information will come, and you will have the information and go, oh, okay. And then you process it. You process it in your mind. So you go, well, okay, that's an interesting way of looking at it and so forth. Now, as you become more comfortable with that, as you become quieter in that, and you will be able to access higher and higher consciousness. Now, the reason I say that the soul is always communicating with you and all the other realms and the other aspects of souls and so forth are communicating, their best interest, as long as you're with your own best interest, is to move forward. And if there's something that can be done to assist you in moving forward, assist you in going through the programs, assist you in one way or another, it will share certain things with you. It will bring that higher consciousness that will create a shift. For example, you're dealing with something and you're dealing it in the state of what you've learned, what you've programmed, how you repeat your thought patterns. Okay, when, you know, for example, let me give you a simple example. We've already been talking about that, but, you know, you hear our conversation, but you can actually go somewhere else. So somebody plays a role with somebody. For example, a woman with a man. The man acts a certain way, okay? And the woman takes it very offensively, gets all reactive, shouldn't have done that, blah, 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 and all this other stuff, and gets all upset and blames. I'm just giving you an example here. And putting that, saying, and then going to her friends and saying, well, you know what my husband did? Look at blah, 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 whatever it is. And they go, yeah, you're right. You should set your boundaries. You should tell him exactly what you want. You should let him know what you expect from him, blah, 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 and all that stuff. So that's now using modalities, and, of course, the ego mind is going to agree with a lot of that, and the ego mind will create its own stories along the way. Now, that's the ego mind. But then there's that subtle voice within yourself and say, listen, maybe you should take a look at how you're reacting. What is playing out for you here? I mean, did your husband really do anything that wrong to you? Is it possibly that, you know, he's just being himself and that's who he is at this point and that's what he's capable of and that you're overreacting to this? Maybe you should take a look at some of this. That's the subtle part. Now, if you quieten yourself and you tune into it and you get the judgment out of the way, you'll hear all of that. So one of the things is to get rid of the judgment. Get rid of all the automatic responses and then tune in. You'll notice as you do that, more and more will flow. And what happens is it's not so much the answers, it's actually giving you certain answers, giving you certain things that may allow you to shift your conscious, shift your thought patterns, shift the way you see things. And then you could see a bigger picture. Now, example of the one. Now, if this particular woman listens to that higher consciousness of themselves streaming from their soul from other parts and say, hey, let's take a look at your programs, instead of going on to another person and say, wow, look at what my husband did or what a boyfriend or whatever, they start like, okay, well, what's going on? Yeah, I'm really getting excited. I'm getting upset. Why am I getting upset? Oh, okay, I feel I'm not getting what I want or whatever it is. You start looking at a different program. Guess what? You start altering these default programs. You start making changes. And guess what? Life gets easier. It gets more flowing. You don't have to react anymore to that same degree or at all at some point. You start to flow. You start to get a higher consciousness. Now that you're creating more space, more flows in. And now you get a better understanding. Oh, now I start understanding my husband. How come he works that way? How he thinks that way? He's working on programs. He's still conditioned. Oh, okay, I see the perfection there. If there's something I can assist him, great. But you're not going to see him as the asshole that treats you badly or whatever may be or whatever judgment you may have. You don't see that anymore. You see the perfection in it. That's how it happens. So that's how you remove what we called or been said there as barriers. You're basically taking all sidetracking stuff and start looking at that because it's always there. The soul mandate right now is to move forward, to grasp this wave that we're on of change. It is there to help us deprogram or, you know, remove patterns, to uncondition the actual auto responses and whatever else, and so that it can now move forward with this higher consciousness and create a completely new reality and to flow. I mean, the soul would love to start playing with neutrality because its natural state is neutral. It loves to be in unconditional love and be playful wherever it is. And it loves to experience and express itself in its fullest form while being in a body. It loves this beautiful unconditionalness of all aspects of whatever going, including peace, because that's its natural state. Well, let's go have some fun. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. You know, so it's really a perpetual process of in order to be able to clear, like what I'm hearing you say is in order to be able to clear, we really have to look at it, but as we do this more and more, our consciousness is expanding, and from that expanded consciousness perspective, we're able to see the connections more and more, and then those things, then we basically, the trigger is like removed, or the charge is removed. And you know, I'm really noticing that in my life. As I remove more and more, you know, the stuff comes up. I didn't even know it was there, but something triggers it, something interpersonal triggers an old program. And, you know, then I'm able to like really look at it deeply and process it, and then the next time I deal with that person, wow, now I'm coming from a higher consciousness perspective, my vibration is better, I'm able to be more in that like loving, unconditionally loving place where I see that we're all one and unity consciousness, and then it really does transform things. So it's I mean, it's just becoming more and more evident. I think, and I can't be the only one experiencing this. I'm sure a lot of people are noticing this more and more with this quickening, especially people who are in the ascension, you know, who are really into the whole ascension process. And all of your listeners who are really into this, and that was a great question that Fred asked, because, you know, it's just, it's such a great, this is the way to clear, right? I mean, it's necessary to kind of, we can't just lay around and listen. I mean, as much as I love your clearings, I just want to say that that's one of the best ways to clear this stuff, is to listen to your clearings. But it's not really enough, is it, to, like, just be passively allowing other people to clear you. You actually have to be conscious of your programs, wouldn't you say, Franco?
Well, absolutely, because, remember, it's not just about clearing. You know, this is, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to clarify it. I know I've mentioned it in the past, but the key here is you have to understand any program has serves. One way or another. So it was a certain opportunity or experience that was there for you to learn from. So the thing is, just to have it clear, just to clear something, there's a lesson behind this. There's something that you brought this forth to learn from. So what you're doing is when, okay, you know, the processes help because it helps you address it. It creates openings so that you could actually maneuver through it a lot easier. But it's going to be playing out in your daily life. So when you're experiencing through the daily life, guess what? You're going to be able to see things that are coming up and go, oh, okay, now I can see all this, the streaming, all the different links to this particular program. What can I learn from this? Okay, and then there's messages in there and something that you can learn from it. And you say, okay, great, now that I've learned from it, now I can let it go. So it's not just about removing it. I mean, there's the purge and clear, but that's why I say there's a lot to do with completion, mm-hmm. because any reason, let's put it this way, any reason for any program or any pattern that is still maintained in the soul that has been brought up from a past life, that has not been completed. For example, say you had a past life and you played a specific role and you were part of your experience in that lifetime, you were going to learn that you had self-empowerment, that in some way or another, someone did not need to be a victim because that was just a role. So you played the victim and you did not need to play the victim anymore. So you had to learn that you were not the victim. You wanted to learn that, and you wanted to learn that in one way or another, that you're self-empowered, that you make the choices, you go the direction you need to go, and there's nothing outside of you that is, overpowering you. But you didn't learn it in that lifetime. For example, you were in a particular life that you experienced a lot of abuse. You were, you know, pushed yourself to the point where you saw yourself as the biggest victim as you can, but you didn't come to the point of crossing over and saying, wait a minute, I'm not a victim, I'm creating this, let me see what I can learn from it and move on. So in that lifetime, it didn't complete, so you leave an imprint within the soul. So now the soul at this lifetime is saying, okay, now with this quickening, with this beautiful new energies, everything that is unfolding right now that's supporting it, I'm going to replay this, but replay it in real time, meaning with the energies, vibrations, and also with the circumstances or scenery that we have now. So maybe that life was back in the 1800s, but now we're going to do it at real time, at the time that we're in now. So we are now going to step in there, and you're going to present it. So why is it coming up? Because we never learned the lesson about the victimization part. So we're going to experience it again, to some degree, and then we're going to be, oh, I'm playing a victim. I realize I don't need to be the victim. Okay, that is just a polarized role. That was when I was playing with it. And now you've learned that victimization is not real and that I don't need to play it any longer, that I am actually self-empowered. You learn that. That's your learning. It wasn't a clear just a victim state. You learned that you're self-empowered and that the fact that you didn't have to play that role either. So, I mean, the processes that I do and provide do have those parts in. But then at times you're going to have to go out and play with it in life, real life. And Look at it this way. You may go through the process and then you get tested. You test yourself. You basically say, mm-hmm. okay, let's make sure that we got it all out of the way, you know, that we've really learned our lesson here. And the lesson is not, well, you know, I made a mistake or anything. The lesson is, okay, yeah, victim, great, nice experience, beautiful, absolutely amazing time I had, absolutely. And I love those victimizers and all the nice tools and weapons they use and all that stuff. Ah, that was awesome. However, now I realize that I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to play with them in that way. They are just my role player, and you're going to send a lot of love to them and say, thank you, my other aspect of myself. Thank you for playing that beautiful role. I'm going to give you an Oscar and then a few other ribbons on top of that because you just did a fantastic job. If I can be of service at any point in time and playing any particular role, just ask. I'm ready for you. Thank you.
Yeah, it feels much lighter. You know, it feels.
And to bring back what you said earlier, and you made it very clear there, you can have a situation with someone, for example, that may have pushed your buttons, may have treated you badly, per se, okay? Once you've learned your lesson, once you shifted the program, the view that you may have from this person will change completely. Where you dread being around this person, where you dread having whatever experience you had with this person, all of a sudden this person, you see him as a beautiful soul, another aspect of yourself, and now you have a relationship that's completely different. Now, for some reason the relationship doesn't serve either one, then it may end anyways. But at the same time, look at the difference it will be. Hugely different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, it's just, once again, it's all imperfection, and but it is really true. I'm noticing, you know, people. I mean, just to say for myself, the last 2 weeks have been, well, you know, it's easy when, I don't know if it's easy, but I just felt like I was in a really good place for the last 2 weeks. I was on vacation in Florida. I was with my best friend, and you know, who helps me with this stuff. So I was able to just like unload a bunch of stuff. And it was very high vibrational space, a lot of water, beautiful sun, I got a tan, you know. I didn't have to take care of my child. Not that I don't love taking care of my child, but it's nice to have a break, you know. But when I'm in a place like that, I got a lot of work done. I feel like I made great strides. But when I'm in a normal mode of life, like even at the beginning of the show, you know, my kid is like screaming. It's making my adrenaline run a little bit. You know, now I'm very relaxed. She's finally asleep. But I think, you know, when times are hard for people, and I know a lot of people are talking about difficult times, especially those people who are really into the matrix or part of the whole system. They have to go to their job that they don't like, and this and that. Like, I think things are not so easy for them, and you know, it's just when you know that you can kind of step back and have space and time for yourself and have friends that you can talk to, it makes things so much easier. But I do think that, you know, what I hear people saying is that they just, even just something like tonight's show can give people a sense of relief in times like this. And is there something to that, like the collective energy of us all coming together in this space, Franco, that's healing?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the reasons I participate with the shows with you and all the others, because the thing is, we're providing a community, an opportunity where, you know, like you said, you went with your best friend, you got a chance to, you know, work out several, many things that you wanted to work out. The environment was there, and that was great. And like you said, not everybody is able to do that when they're in the heat at the moment or, you know, day-to-day life. However, you know, taking the time to reflect on your own after the fact, to look at some of the things, but also to connect with others, you know. And this is the reason the shows are powerful, because it gives us the opportunity to get a different perspective, a different view, to actually bring your own clarity into view. Because a lot of times, it's like we were saying earlier, you're getting your own inner guidance, but we're ignoring it. And then when we hear it from another source, guess what? The light turns on into, that's what I've been hearing coming into my mind. Yeah, it's true. I'm hearing it again, and I'm actually even getting examples now and so forth. So And this is it's good. That's why we're sharing what we're sharing, because it gives people some tools, gives them a higher understanding so that they actually could look at things that they're experiencing day to day completely different. And by doing so, then they can make adjustments, and you'll see that their environment will change. It doesn't matter. Like, for example, what you were saying, in a state, you know, you did your work, whatever, but in a state of complete neutrality, your daughter could have been screaming her lungs out, and you could have played that as part of the music in the background as, you know, I'm saying part of the music, but you allow that to be part of the background while you're on the show. And you could just say to the people on the show and say, this is my beautiful daughter serenading us showing resistance in doing what, and then she's teaching us the fact that, no, I don't need to do this because I have my own little free will or whatever it is, right? And but would it bring up your adrenaline? No. Would it make you, you know, all flustered or embarrassed because the fact that you are getting on the show and you're not getting the absolute quietness, the quiet that you want and so forth? You wouldn't have any of that as part of your experience because at that point in time, you're completely neutral in that sense. So, but then at the same time, when we look at the other side of the thing, when you're that neutral and you've played it out, it won't play out. Your daughter would just turn around and say, good night, everybody, and go to bed. And you don't even have to say a word because at that point, she doesn't have to push anybody's button, doesn't have to push your partner's button, doesn't have to push your buttons, doesn't have to do anything. And that really, okay, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad, thank you, whoever's here. I got the free card, you know, not to play any role tonight. I don't have to be the little tantrum girl or anything. I don't need to resist because nobody really needs my services tonight in this way. So guess what? She's just going to go to sleep.
Well, yeah, that would be nice. I mean, but here I was in my room with the door closed, not dealing with her. And it's my ex-husband, who's my friend, you know, to say he's my friend, my co-parent. He was putting her to sleep. So I can't control whatever thing he's going to get into with her. So if I'm neutral, I mean, actually, I wasn't really that embarrassed. It's just like, instead of trying to pretend that it wasn't happening, I was like naming it. And once I named it, it really didn't have as much charge for me. But she was still going on for a good 20, 30 minutes, and I was pretty much ignoring it, you know. So, but can we affect another, like, can we affect a situation just by being neutral if we're not, like, I can't control what Steve is going to do with my daughter, you know, with Sophie, my daughter. I can't control if he's going to have something going on with her. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, of course not, because that's their agreement.
Yeah.
But their agreement, as long as you're not required to be affected, would not involve you. So if you're being neutral, then that interaction may have occurred when it would not affect you. For example, while the show, it would have happened earlier or would have happened, you know, in a distance where it would not affect you in your room with the closed door. So the fact that it was affecting you too, there was still something for you, or else it wouldn't have happened because it would have aligned itself differently. Yeah, okay, maybe she would have decided to go to bed, but started an hour earlier with something else to engage something with your ex, right? But it wouldn't have involved you. So that's what you have to look at it because it doesn't matter. You're right. It does not affect. I mean, you're not here to, because of your neutrality, is going to, you know, change what your ex and your daughter are going to share. That's different. So it just will play out at a different time and a different arrangement, but it would not affect you.
Okay. I hear what you're saying then. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not like me being neutral is going to have an effect on his issue with my with my daughter, but basically, it wouldn't even come into my realm of consciousness. I wouldn't hear her. It would happen in a different place. So now I get it. I do get it. So
yeah, I mean, I went through this stuff myself years ago, and you know, when I was with my ex, with the children were younger. I mean, they're grown up now, and so forth. But at this point in time, You know, and when they were having an interaction with mom and whatever, you know, playing out where they were yelling at each other or screaming or getting upset, you know, and for example, I'll give you an example. They're screaming at each other or getting all in a tantrum and whatever it is in the kitchen. I walk in and they say, "Hey guys, having fun?" And then, you know, do my thing and walk away. You know, and that's it. And leave it be. And I didn't feel, oh my God, you know, I didn't feel that, you know, that energy raging within yourself and going, you know, why do I have to be subject to all of this stuff? You're so neutral that you let them play out. And they do whatever they need to do, and that was fine, you know. And so, but eventually what happened, and this is where I noticed, less and less of it would occur when I'm around. You know, it's funny because at one point I mentioned it in a conversation. I said, "Wow, things must be getting better with you, Ma." "Oh, no, it seems like we always get started when you're not around," you know, type of thing. Because, you know, I don't need to be involved. I don't even have to hear it. I mean, so... In a sense, they waited to get into that dance later, you know. Did I ask them? No. It was just happening that way. It was an alignment because I didn't need to be in that environment at the time. But whenever it was my little test to myself and say, staying neutral, you know. Or, you know, I'd come up and say, "Well, what are you guys playing with tonight?" You know, and, "Well, we want to do this," or whatever it is. And I go, "Oh, okay, and why is that?" You know, or something. But then you do play the role at times where you are the, not the mediator, but you're the one that's bringing in the higher consciousness because you're coming in a neutral state, so you're going to bring it, so you can actually play the role between the two of them in the sense of you let each other, you know, when you're coming in a neutral, it's like a judge, but it's not a judge because you're not making the judgment. You're basically right. The one in the middle and saying, "Okay, well, how do you see it?" Now, this was the beauty of it, and I'm sharing this because it's helpful for many parents. And when you're coming in from that state, you now help them, like you're doing with the questions and so forth. And I say, "Okay, now why do you feel this way? Why are you upset?" "Well, because mommy doesn't let me do this and never does da, 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 da." "Okay, but so if mom doesn't want you to do that, why would you be upset?" "Well, because I want to do it." "Really, why do you want to do it?" Or something like that. And then I would go back to mom, which mom would be there too, and say, "Well, why do you insist that she needs to do it this way or that your way is the only way and blah, 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 and so forth?" "Well, because I know better." And I go, "Well, you know better at your state. How about what she sees, you know, or he sees, being my son or daughter at this point in time?" So you bring a certain level of clarity so that they can actually view things a little different. It didn't, you know, clear everything crystal clear right at the beginning. And it would just, "Oh, okay, whatever, you know, now I understand. All right, okay, I can be easier at that." Because I would throw in the other thing is, okay, when you were at home and you were, you know, going to my ex at that time, when you were at home and mom and dad would be doing the same thing, telling you, how did you feel? "Well, I was upset. I didn't like what they were telling me. They didn't understand." "Oh, they didn't understand. Is it possible that you may not understand the viewpoint of our daughter or son at this point in time? Could it be that possible?" "Well, yeah, it could be possible." And what happens? It shifts the whole thing. And then they start communicating, and they give themselves allowance for each other how to play. And it shifts it. And what happens is you now provided the opportunity for both to expand their own consciousness. So the next time they get into it, they may just jump on the higher consciousness without going into the 3D world all the time, you know. So that's how you could play the role, for example, between your ex and your daughter. So if you're walking in there, but that's when you're neutral and it doesn't affect your adrenaline, it doesn't affect you, you know, having a reactive mode. And that's something you practice. You're learning that. You're deprogramming yourself from that response because that's a conditioned response. That's all it is. That's what you're playing out. It's a program, right? Because your natural state does not react. It doesn't work on programs. Programs is something that's conditioned. Programs, of course, serve, but at some point you get to a point it no longer serves, and the reason it's coming up is because it's time to wrap it up. Let's move on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I can now say that I don't feel like I'm as mean of a mommy as well, I think we talked about that in the last show. I felt like you were like, I was like, "Are you talking about me? About the fact that I'm mean to my daughter?" And you were like, "Well, she's asked you to play a role," and like so. But the more that I feel good in myself, and that I'm letting go of these programs, Well, she's actually helped me to see so many things. Like, if it weren't for having, and this is the great thing about being a parent, and I'm sure many people, you know, who, anybody can understand if you're, you know, because everybody's a kid at least, even if you're not a parent in this lifetime, you've been a child. And so you understand the dynamic that can occur between parent and child. And I think a lot of it comes from, you know, if we have a pattern of trying to control others, you know, then it can be, I guess that's kind of my old pattern that I'm learning to let go of, like the need to control, the need to have everything be perfect, or the need to, you know, oh, I got to take care of this. Nobody else is going to take care of it, so I got to go in there and do it. And when really, it's being neutral is allowing things to happen, allowing somebody to spill a big thing of chocolate milk on the floor and not being upset about it, and, you know, because it just doesn't make sense anymore for me to get, you know. Luckily, I am changing. I'm noticing huge changes, and we are really being supported by these energies. I feel that the energies that are happening right now are really supporting this change. You know, would you say that is there something happening right now? Because it feels like everybody is just deep in their stuff right now. I mean, is that exactly what we're supposed to be going through right now, Franco?
Yes, exactly. And you are being supported by the energies that are there. And also the consciousness of each other is supporting each other. So for each aha moment, each moment that you come to a higher realization, each and every person on the planet at this point in time is now adding that mix of energy and consciousness into the collective so that others can tap into it, others will be supported in whatever they're going through so that they don't all have to go through the same degree as everybody else. Everybody is going to have a slightly different degree of experience, whatever that may be, but it's not going to be all the same. So in essence, I mean, yeah, we are supporting each other. We are now, the reason we're feeling so deep, I mean, we are in a wave of approximately 30 days of really intense wave to go into the depth of stuff. And it may feel very, very heavy, may feel very, very intense in the regards to feeling the heaviness of whatever is going on there, only to see that and see what programs are bringing up that heaviness and then gently letting all of that stuff go. I mean, the reason people would respond in a heavy way or feel that heavy burden is because of the fact that they're just reacting and responding to their previous conditioning. And, you know, we're doing everything possible to, like, decondition ourselves. Because when you're programmed free, you really navigate moment by moment. And you actually expanding your capability of experience, your capability of maneuvering through things. Because look at it this way. Something happens and you have a program that kicks in. Well, that program that kicks in is automatically limiting you to that series of experiences. It's limiting you to that band of frequency. It's limiting you to only a certain level of consciousness. But whenever you're deprogrammed, you're free, you now have the freedom to choose to experience whatever you choose to experience, no matter what is playing out around you, even if it's similar to something that has played out before. You've now expanded your opportunity to learn and experience whatever you choose. But the thing is, you're not caught in it, so you can just walk through it, look at it from all vantage points. You can do whatever you want to do with it, and then you're done. You're passed on next to it. You're not caught up into anything any longer. Mm-hmm. So you see how, and that's what this energy is supporting us right now. It is to really just go in and out of all this stuff. And, of course, every new band of frequency comes up is also giving us higher consciousness. So basically it's giving us more tools, a bigger viewpoint, so that when we are addressing certain programs, we can see it a lot quicker what it is, we can learn from it quicker, and we have much more broader scale of maneuvering and observing and so forth to utilize those opportunities.
Wow, well, that's great. That's awesome. So we're going to be, we are being supported, and it's just going to keep going to continue this process of expanding consciousness and ascension. It really is such an exciting time, you know. I'm going to stop asking. I'm going to stop making connections because I have to get to other people's questions. But
okay.
Every time you talk about things, like, then I just get excited and think of new things to bring up. So let me just check with you on how you're feeling. And let's see the time here. We're at 9:35 Eastern Standard Time. So I just wondered if how long you can go and if we should take, like, a little break or something.
Well, it's up to you guys. I mean, if you want to go till 10 or slightly over, that's fine. Depends on what you want to do. If you wouldn't give everybody a break, because usually at the hour and a half point or even before that, we can give somebody a break or you know,
yeah.
If you like. It's up to you. I know we're not going to, you know, we're just going to carry on with whatever we're doing. So it's your call.
Okay.
But I can stop also for a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm great, and I could keep going. But what, maybe this is a good point to take a little refreshment break, because that seems to work nicely for people. You know, sometimes when we wait till the 2 hour and then take the break, it's a little late. So why don't we do it now? And so it's I have 9:36. And let's take a 5 minute break, and I'm going to play a little song, and then we'll come back and we'll go to the rest of the questions. And if we do have until 11, so if you can go for the full time, then if we need the time, because of course there are a few questions. But let's just take this break. So why don't we agree upon the time here that we're going to come back? So I have it's 9:36 now. So why don't we come back at 9:41? That would be 5 minutes. And I'm going to play some music here. And we'll rejoin at 41 after. So here we go. Play some Matthew Cosell.
Perfect.
Okay, great. I think if it's going to play here. Here we go. Awesome.
Well, hello again. This is C.J. Miller, and you're back on the C.J. Miller Show with special guest Franco Di Nicola. Franco, are you here? Hello? Franco Di Nicola, where are you?
I am here now.
Oh, okay, good.
I was so into the music there, so I just muted myself.
Oh, it was good, huh? Yeah, that was Matthew Cosell, and that was his song called Grace. And Franco knows Matthew Cosell. Not only have we done a couple of shows with you guys together, like a couple of Cosmic Currents, but you did a great, that's actually how I really got into you, was Symphony of Meditation, which was the event that Larry Bazell put on. And Matthew Cosell, did you get to listen to him when you were at that event?
Absolutely. That's how I met everybody too, and it was really great what he does.
I just love his music so much, and that was a really powerful. It's interesting because I heard that in reality there was only about 12 people at that event, but you never would have known it because I was on the live stream. And I'm sure there was a lot of us. I think there was more people doing obviously more people doing live stream than actually there at the event. But it really, like, energetically just put me in such a good place for the whole weekend. God, that was back before 12/12/12, wasn't it? I think that was November of 2012.
Yeah, it was November 2012, yes.
Yeah, and it was a very difficult time, and that event like just held me for the weekend. But listening to Matthew, the things that I loved the most was Franco and Matthew Cosell. So now I had them both on the same show essentially again. So yeah, all right, we're back, and thanks so much everybody for being with us, and I hope you feel refreshed and ready to get back at the questions. And I hope that you're feeling fresh and ready for the next question too, Franco.
Yeah, sure. That's the play we're here to do.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so this next question is kind of a short question. We'll see if you can answer it briefly or if it'll just lead into something else. But this is kind of related to what we were just talking about, and this is from a listener, Jeremy. And he was actually, even before we named the topic for the show again, he basically put it on, he's like, on the topic of discernment, intuition seems to be a tool for discernment. So he's asking, what is mother's intuition, and where does this ability come from?
Well, intuition is your natural state to connect with yourself and other aspects of yourself. So when you have intuition, it's your higher self talking to you. And the higher self is already having communication at a level that you are not so conscious of with other parties. So, for example, if a child is going through a scenario that they only need part of that experience and they're in a position where they're not able to deal with it on a physical plane basis under state of consciousness or whatever it is, basically it's asking for specific assistance, it will communicate with the mother. And from soul to soul, there will be a communication, or in this case, third eye to third eye, there's a communication, and then that would be an intuition saying, oh, I got to take a look at this. That's what we can call mother's intuition. It's the communication between the child and other members of the family or even friends or something of that nature. it is, you know, we call it the mother intuition because there's a stronger connection, and the connection has been established because the child is at a point where it requires a little bit more participation from mom. And this is the thing, is that the child is actually at the soul level communicating with mom with the exact directions of when to step in, when not to step in, what to do and not to do at this point in time. And it is a little bit more detailed, so the mother will be able to tune into that. So the child may, you know, start to cry or something like that, or even before start to cry, or going through some challenges or something of that nature, the mother will sense it, and because that communication is there. This is our built-in. Now, the intuition, everybody has intuition. That's basically your higher aspect of yourself communicating through you. So, you know, it's just that we programmed ourselves to disregard it, not to pay attention to it, and to really operate off the mind. So we're conditioned to logically think things out. And, of course, if you're bringing logic, you're now using ego. Of course, the ego is specialized in observing what other people have experienced, what other past experiences you may have had, and create projections of potential repeats, potential whatever it may be. So when you're analyzing something, when you're contemplating something at the mind level where you're bringing it into it, you're formulating, you're taking past experiences, you're looking at personal experiences that you may have had presently or you know, may feel that you may have, or you observed others having those particular experiences. So now you're tuning into that as resources to formulate a potentiality of that, of something of that nature. But intuition is basically an inner knowing. It is the part of you that's saying, you know, we need to go down this path because this is what we need to do for us to do what we came here to do, rather than, you know, going down another path. Because if we can, skip that part that we've played many times over, that's go to the next level. So intuition is your own inner guidance. That's basically it. Now, you will have more and more intuition and clearer dialogue, because the intuition won't even be just a hunch. It'll be a clearer dialogue as you carry on with what we were saying before, and that is clear the programs out and get the mind out of the way, go into a quieter state, and just tune into yourself. So a lot of times we talk about going to the heart, which is basically we're tuning into the heart chakra, which is the direct link to our soul. And then when we tune into our third eye, we're accessing other aspects of ourselves. And that is the transmitter-receiver that we communicate with other souls on the planet, off-planet, on collective consciousness, universal consciousness, galactic consciousness, and source consciousness. So, you know, we'll bring in that. But that's what the intuition is. It's your own inner guidance. And it's basically just giving you directions in the direction that you would be best going for you to move forward in another level. So it's basically communicating in that regard. So that's what it is. And, and the mothers would have it more tuned at that time because it wants to be able to communicate or stay connected with the child, because there's a certain sense of urgency to be able to be there of service to their child, because they see their child is still in a state where in the physical form it might not have the same flexibility and so forth. Now, I want to throw something else in as a bonus here. At this time, I don't know if I've talked about it on your show or not, but in the past I've talked about it, and the odd time I do. You know, people say, well, you know, when children are young, they need to be looked after, they need to be protected, they need to be, you know, taken care of in all levels at this point in time, and they have no say in matters, so they're actually little victims, you know. They can be easily victimized because they're very small, you know, because they don't have that state of know-how, and they are not able to navigate on a mind level, or they not have the physical strength or capability. And for example, you know, sometimes they see children getting abused or something of that nature, and, you know, somebody says, well, see, they're all victims and whatever else, and they can't fend for themselves, so we need to be there for them, and we need to take care of them, and so forth, and that, you know, that's our responsibility, and so forth. But the truth is that the child is still as powerful as any other soul. And a lot of times the child may have even a much more advanced soul. Now, if it needs to change its experience, for example, say a child is being victimized, for example, is being abused, let's call it that better. The child is being abused. Now, the only reason the abuse is taking place is because the child at the soul level allowed that to take place. It was saying, I need this experience for a period of time. However, it's going to get to a point it no longer requires it. Now, the first indication would be going to the person that's the perpetrator or the one that's inflicting that challenge or that abusive part and say, okay, we're done with the role. You don't need to play with this any longer. And that may be the case. Now, however, sometimes there's another lesson interconnected, say that another person has to get involved or something of that nature or needs to intervene because of the certain experience, then it will call out and say to somebody else, say another person, say, oh, by the way, can you step in and observe this scenario? I know it's going to push your buttons, it's going to allow you to learn whatever you knew, but I want you to step in because at this point in time, it's time for me to move on. And I've given this example before where, you know, a child has been brought up or was in a family dynamic where it was very intense, very painful, very, you know, challenged in per se. And I've heard it from people turn around and say, well, you know, we got to step in there. We got to do whatever. Yeah, if you feel called totally without going in that I need to save them, then that's fine. I mean, if you need to go in and save, that's your kind of your baggage that you need to look at, that you need to see that. But if a child is, for example, going through some intense situation and no longer needs to play that role, it will automatically change it. It will transmit to the person that's playing the role, no longer need to do this, or it would allow someone else to step in to make the change for them. However, they're still in charge. They always will be in charge. If they can't do it on a physical plane, for example, if their body is not at a point, it's like the example I said, if a child is not liking what it is, it's not going to pack its bag and leave if it's 3 years old. Well, I mean, not some 3 years old. I've tried that. But, you know, just leave and say, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to another country or another place. Yeah. However, it will solicit, it will invite soul to soul, third eye in this case, invite another soul to step in. Whatever form would be best for everybody mutually to play to change that reality. And that's it. But the child is still ultimately in charge.
Right. Wow, that's fascinating. And also, it kind of sounds like what you were saying about the whole concept of intuition and mother's intuition specifically is like, well, first of all, there's an agreement for the mother that she is going to be of service to this child, so she's open to it. But essentially, intuition is this what you said? Like that you're open to messages from another part of yourself, which is basically another person. Yeah.
Basically, intuition is your inner guidance first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Then the second part of it is intuition. It's your inner guidance communicating with other souls to step in and to play a very specific role. So it's still your inner guidance. It's just that part of you that's communicating. Because a lot of times we say, well, intuition, it's another level of communication. It's another level of tuning in. It's not verbal. It's not where somebody comes up to you and says, can you do this for me? It's basically, it's a knowing that comes into you. I need to step in and take care of this. Because the other soul has said, can you do this specific way? And then it would also check with the other souls that are playing with and say, okay, how should I play my role to best assist you? So it's not only changing the role of, say, the child, but also the one that's playing the role that's being the aggressor at this point in time. So if it means calling the police, if it means calling, you know, stepping in and just, you know, pulling the child out of there, or whatever, because whatever the person that's playing the role, there's just an experience for them to learn from, so they will get exactly what they need. So if they need to play with the law, then they'll play with the law. Now, the law, of course, you know, we won't go there, but
yeah.
It's still part of the human creation, but it still serves, because it does create a very intense type of experience in a certain way, in a certain vibration.
Right.
So at that point in time, it's whatever serves. So that's what the intuition aspect of it is.
Right, right. And we won't get into what it is, but essentially like what you're saying is that a child could call in with their third eye another soul, maybe in the form of an adult from perhaps Child Protective Services or a school counselor or something, that will essentially change the situation for them so that the child is removed from their family. Mm-hmm.
And these, what you just described, are exactly what's happened in many occasions where, you know, the parent was relieved from the child because the child basically, in that family dynamic, the experience was to a certain level agreed upon. Then it came to a point, okay, we're done with this. However, they're not in a state of moving out of there because they haven't learned what they need to learn. So it will instigate another family or another person to observe what's going on that will call Child Services. And Child Services come in and remove the child and possibly place it in another family or whatever it is. And the child has been relieved from that environment. And this is like actual cases have happened where I've worked with them, where it's just scenarios like that where the parents lose the child because, you know, the child at that point in time no longer needed to be in that environment. And then they would be placed in a home that would be more conducive to their new state of what they wanted to experience as a child.
Right.
But
wow.
The child activated it. It was the child that activated it. You know, sometimes, you know, people say, well, it's so lucky that, you know, the neighbor saw this and called the Child Services. Well, that's just a human observation of it. In actual fact, if the child would not get that one neighbor, it would call whatever other neighbor that's around and say, okay, guys, it's time. Can somebody step into this? And then, of course, the souls will go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'm the one that will do it. And then they'll be, like they say, at the right place at the right time to observe something and be activated. Because one example I had, it was a community of single parents that were in a community that was sponsored by the government where they were all in the same boat. A lot of them were abusive. A lot of them were, you know, into alcohol. A lot of them were in various states. So there were a bunch of parents that, you know, were not probably playing what we call at the human form, you know, the best role as mom and dad. Okay, in this case, most of them were moms. But in that regards, because of their own addictions, their own, you know, programs and so forth. So this situation where this one child was being very aggressively handled by the parent, by the mother in this case, because of her addictions and so forth. But now she's in a community of the same, but after a so long period of time, one day, out of one action, one parent that is in the same boat, in the same state, felt so guided inside, so directed, call Child Services. Now, typically, at the mind level, the person, because of being very familiar with, you know, those roles, would have not naturally called because, yeah, we're all like that, you know, type of thing, playing the role.
Mm-hmm.
But the souls have superseded there and said, no, you need to do this, so that they stepped in. Now, the mom, of course, ended up having a very intense experience, first getting their child, removing their child, second of all, being treated a certain way through, you know, the system to get them rehab and whatever else. And then the child actually was removed from there and put in a different environment altogether. So look at all the things that played out, and that was all instigated, activated by the individual souls. Now, they were all participating. It wasn't that the child said, okay, I don't care, I just need out of here. There are some occasions that will occur, but if that's going to play out, it's still the roles play out for each and every single soul exactly needs to play out for them.
Right.
It's very rare it's single channel where just somebody just does one thing. In most cases, it involves everybody, and everybody will have the experience. Even the mother that called Child Services had a moment of reflection in her state to look at her life and see how she was treating her child, because there was an awakening for her, too, and seeing all that unfolded. There you go. So it was each and every soul was affected.
Well, how interesting that we got on that topic. It's like I have a lot of experience with Child Protective Services, and I'll say unfortunately, because I was a school counselor, and I had to make reports on, you know, children when they would admit things to me about their parents in the course of playing a game that would elicit different things from them. You know, at the time, I thought I was doing a really good job. And then I went through this thing of like, oh, Child Protective Services, that's part of the Illuminati. They're taking children away from people that, oh, it's a horrible thing. Like, there's a part of me that feels that way, like that it's just a very bad Band-Aid. Even I'm not saying that you should keep children in abusive situations. And I don't want to go on and on about this, but you saying that actually makes me feel so much better about the times that I had to make reports, because essentially once you make a report, when you have to, when you work in a school, if anybody tells you of anything, you have to make a report. You're bound legally to do it. But then usually what happens is the kid that told you gets very mad at you, because whoever's abusing them is going to abuse them even more once the report is made, if they're not taken out of the house. I mean, look, that happened to me like 15 years ago, this little girl. And there's a part of me that still thinks about her. But I actually feel like once you said that, like, so there was a part of her that actually asked me to do that for her, essentially. You know, and then I took that role, basically. Like, I psychically took that on and agreed to do it. So that just, you know, again, the whole way of looking at things in a neutral way, then none of these systems are really, we're not slaves under the control of the Illuminati and just batteries and in the Matrix. You know, that's not really, I mean, people can see it that way, but any time you want, you can step out of that role, right? I mean, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're playing a role too. You know, it's a polarized role. I mean, yes, it's true, some of the what you've said, you know, that they, you know, sometimes the child is put into a more difficult scenario. But again, it's only going to play out that way because the child is choosing to go down that path, you know, wants a change, but wants a change in a different direction, and the direction may not be, you know, what we would perceive better or whatever it is. However, you know,
hello? Oh, no. Franco. All right, you guys. So now Franco's dropped, but I'm sure he'll come right back because this happened last time, didn't it? We lost him for a moment. So we'll just hang out until he comes back. And maybe we'll go on. We'll move on to a new topic, even though this is, of course, fascinating. Essentially, oh, here he is again. Okay. All right, let's go. Come on, Franco, you're back.
Yes, the phone just dropped me there.
That's okay. We knew you were coming back very shortly. So just to wrap, should we wrap up with this topic here? Because I know this is like a very, this could be a very touchy subject for people. People have very strong opinions.
Well, it is in one way, but it, you know, in actual fact, it actually, like you just said, it's just the way you look at things so that you can actually maneuver, and you're not going to get maneuver through it rather than getting caught up in all the stuff, because, you know, the roles are, again, are going to be played out the way they need to be played out. And the thing is, you know, it doesn't matter what side of polarity you are, we're just playing roles. And, you know, we came here to play with one another. Okay. If you see it that way, you've created the environment, because planet Earth is a schoolyard and a playground. Okay? That's what it is. It's a schoolyard and playground.
Yeah.
All planets are schoolyards and playgrounds. Our physicalities are the vehicles that operate in a certain spectrum of frequency to play in that schoolyard and playground. So we come here to play. You know, we're playing some older programs that we are upgrading, and this is what's really happening. So the soul is always choosing to be here, not to be here, step in, step out, do whatever it needs to do so that it can learn and go on and move forward. So if you see it as all a play, you come to the realization that you can move through it very quickly and easily. You're never going to get caught up in the guilt. You're never going to feel bad about whatever. Whatever choice you're going to make, even at some point, say you had intuition to take a step forward regarding someone that you're working with. And you didn't. There was a part of you that resisted, and it didn't. Okay? So they had a different outcome than it would have played out if you did step in. Now, on the viewpoint of that, looking at the surface and say, well, you know, because I didn't act, they had this scenario. For example, I didn't say something, so the person, that particular child, may have been abused even more, for example. But if you had said something, remember, the child still is in charge. So regardless, would have said, okay, you can't do it, let somebody else step in to do it. And, you know, whatever role needed to play out. So the fact that they didn't bring anybody else in and your choice of not doing it was fine, it was acceptable. And certain things played out at the time and they had exactly the experience they had to have. Or else it wouldn't have played out that way. So you see, it takes us out of that density, out of that, you know, getting caught up with one another. Whenever you feel guys to step in, you step in. You step in, but don't ever get caught up in. And I don't say, I mean, this is a learning experience too, yeah. But it's just, you know, you don't have to get caught up in it. So you maneuver through it a lot easier.
Yeah, that's great. So that was very interesting. Direction that question took us in. You see, I thought that would be a brief answer, and it was not. But it was very, very rich. And so I want to thank Jeremy for that question. Let's move on to another question, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one, okay, great. So, and I can't remember. I think this one was from David. And it's kind of a long, he has sort of like a long, a lot of people write long questions. There's no simple questions here. I don't know, maybe everybody that gets into you, Franco, they're also a little long-winded. That's not a dig on you either, so. You know,
well,
I love
if they want an answer,
you.
They're going to give you a complicated question. Why not?
You know? Exactly. All right, so I'm just going to read the whole thing. It's not that long, but because I can't. The other ones I'm able to take little pieces, but this one I and this one was actually left over from the last show. So, and I think it's a great question. So I'm just going to read it to you. So he says, after all these years in spiritual training, I still am shockingly judgmental of the energy and behavior of others. For example, in the grocery store or mall, in traffic or online. While sometimes managing to act from compassion or just even as an unaffected observer, it increasingly feels as though I'm moving unseen amongst a desensitized, robotic human mass. Is this really the zombie apocalypse? In the parentheses, he asks, which I laugh at that. My desire is to separate from uncaring insensitivity, negativity, and basic impoliteness, but that impulse can too easily skid toward hunkered down, at home agoraphobia, especially during the mini ice age of the winter we have just experienced in the north. I think he's from Toronto. At least intellectually, I understand that unloving, reactive, disharmonious, or scattered circumstances and individuals can be viewed as aspects of self arising to be noticed and loved and perhaps released. But where did the fun go? Okay, so this is the question from David. So if you need me to repeat any of it or just, you know, please, what can you share with us about this one, Franco?
It's a good question. It's a good observation,
it is.
Too.
It's brilliant,
the fun didn't go anywhere. It's just the way we're seeing it, you know. So we've taken that part of it and seeing it as something that is intense, or in this case, looking at it and judging it and saying, well, you know, there's no fun. I mean, that's why we're talking about play a lot, because we want to bring the fun part of it. So, you know, the drones or whatever you want to call it, the people, the zombies, they're walking around. There are all other aspects of ourselves. They're all playing their roles. They're doing whatever. The insensitivity and all of that stuff, those are mind constructs. Those are still part of programs and so forth. I mean, everybody's playing their role. So if they're playing their role amongst each other, the fact that you're still, you know, vulnerable or active, let's call it that, active to judgmental response, there's still programs, you know, there's still expectations, still certain things that it should see or view. You know, judgment comes when we have a certain perception of what things should be like. You know, we judge somebody based on our experience, based on how we see things. When you bring in no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, you can't judge because every role is just a role. The roles are polarized and non-polarized. The roles are just roles. And every role is there for whatever purpose it serves for each individual involved. Plus, it's also showing the state of consciousness as a collective, and it is a meter device, too, at times, where we can actually see what our state of consciousness is. So when you get into the neutral state, of course, as you deactivate all the programs that would create the judgment, and I know we can get into the spiritual part. We can expand in that regard. And then, I don't know, maybe you've seen it before yourself, Claudia, and others have probably noticed. A lot of times people go into spirituality and they think, okay, now that I'm spiritual, that, you know, people are not judgmental. In actual fact, you get very judgmental in the spiritual because, in a sense, you go through a phase where you start now comparing everybody, you start judging everybody that's not like you, and it's no different than anything else, spiritual, non-spiritual. The thing is, they're going spiritual, but they're not, you know, mature enough in the sense of their deprogramming. So they haven't gone to the state of neutrality because spirituality, when you're in a state of neutrality, just flows with things. You're not by any means going along and judging someone. An experience is an experience. When you are in a state of consciousness in your spiritual alignment, awakening, or whatever you want to call it, when you're getting into that, when you're in that state of higher consciousness, you are very neutral, and you see the perfection in everybody's role playing, so you no longer look at comparison of anything. You can make observation, absolutely, and through those observations you can learn so that you don't have to actually play out all the same roles. So say somebody is playing out a specific role, and you observe and say, oh, okay, that role is very egotistic, or that role may have a lot of programs, and I can see the different programs. And you're seeing the programs, and then you can look at your programs and say, okay, how much of it do I have? Or, you know, if you respond in a certain way, then you can see that you have your own programs within yourself. Can learn from and through the observational aspect of it, but you're not judging them. So if somebody wants to act a certain way, that's great. You know, let them act a certain way. Now, if it feels that at one point that you don't need to interact with that, for example, instead of going into hibernation, you say, okay, I don't need to interact, so interact with that, then you find yourself to do something else with other groups of people or anything of that nature. Now, there will be times that you want to go in hibernation. You want to go into reflection mode. You want to go to self-discovery mode. And you don't want to be around people, per se. But then you need to look at, why do I need to be around people? Do they piss me off? Do they aggravate me? Well, then that's not that's an indicator right there that you are still judgmental or active, or that you're trying to run away from the scenario. Or it's not the scenario, it's the opportunity you provided yourself. It's like this: I created this opportunity for me to play, and then I'm running away from my own opportunity, what I've actually created for myself to play. So you can observe that part and say, okay, why am I choosing? Well, I just don't feel like being in that space right now, in that energy. I need to be in my own energy. I need to be in my own whatever. And that's fine. Then you can choose that. Of course you're free to that. But if it's pushing your button and saying, well, okay, do I run away from this, or do I step in and really now do the work around that, you know, learn what I need to learn and clear what I need to clear and then move on with that, so that in actual fact I can be out there, walk in the supermarkets, walk through the drive through the place, and really just observe everybody going all over the place and doing whatever they're doing and being in zombie state or non-zombie state or being in rude state or an uncaring state or anything of that nature. Because if somebody is playing a role abusive towards somebody else and you're observing it and you say, oh, okay, they're just playing a role. And you get to the point where you don't even have to say that to yourself because you just realize it instantaneously within yourself and you just let it play. And if you feel in one way or another to interject or to bring some higher consciousness within yourself, you bring it in and you step out of it. You don't get engaged in it. You don't see right or wrong. You're not there to fix it. You're not there to, you know, say, I need to make an adjustment. So if you see some interaction going on and you feel guided to you know, share something of higher consciousness, you share it. I have no expectation what it'll look like, what it will do, what they'll say, don't say, or anything of that nature. You share it and you let it be, and you let it go in that respect. So the judgment is still, because they're still programs, there's still reference point of right and wrong, good or bad, and there is still, you know, because this is one of the key things, you know, even with, you know, mentioning the Illuminati's, mentioning the different control structures are in place, one of the things that spiritual people through their stages, and also people that are not spiritual, that are just awakening to what's taking place on the planet, okay? And the first reaction is what? Judgmental, first victim or victimizer, blame, all that stuff. Say, oh, look, they're making my life miserable, da, 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 and all this right. sort of stuff. So that's the automatic response. But that's judgmental. That's, you know, programmed. But when you see, oh, they're playing that role, and how much do I want to be involved in this role or not, and I can change it, because as more people will change, I can tell you one thing. It doesn't matter how many elites, what they solicit, what they do and don't do, how much contamination or how much programming they do, the moment we come as a collective say, we no longer need this experience, it's gone. Period. Neutralized, gone. They're relieved from their role, and they're going, ah, finally they got it, so I can stop playing this darn role because I'm done. And everything shifts. Everything is, the only reason anything is still in place is because they're still serving people that need that type of experience yet to be wrapped up for themselves. So that's the only reason it's being reinforced. Because if we don't turn onto the channel, that channel will disappear because it's not, first of all, there's no audience, so it doesn't need to play any longer. Because I tell you, if what happens is if you have a radio station or whatever, and nobody ever tunes into it, or you know, very few tune in, eventually it doesn't feel like you want to have that along because there's nothing to support it, and it's gone. It's the same thing. They're only playing the role because they're still supported there. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, trying to stimulate the lower vibration or anything of that nature. Which is great. In a way, it's great. This is as odd as it's going to sound to you. them being other aspects of ourselves, let's be clear with that, playing a negative role or stimulating fear, and you say, see, look at them. They're the perpetrators. They're stimulating fear. Let them stimulate the fear so that we can see that we still have a fear program. And then move on without, you know, clearing up that fear program. So it doesn't matter if they turn around and say, oh, this is happening, that's happening all over the world, and you look at it and say, oh, well, have fun, guys, and see you later. It's like even yourself, myself, I don't know who I know for myself. It doesn't matter what's on the news. I don't watch the news anyways because I have no interest in it because it's too weird to watch because of the fact that you look at it, and since you can tune into their stories, you can actually see what they're not saying and whatever else, and it's like, okay, well, where do we need to go there? But it doesn't matter if whatever they're going to say is happening. You're not going to go into fear mode because you're not there. You don't have any activation in that respect, and they can say, well, the sky is falling, and say, oh, well, so be it, you know, and it doesn't matter because, first of all, you're not going to respond in that certain way. Second of all, you know you're only going to have the experience that you need, and that's it. You know, so it's very different in that regards.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I remember even when David first asked the question, you know, and I was like, wow, he's so intelligent the way he, you know, worded it and funny, and I really identified with it, you know. I mean, I was even saying in the last show, I'm like pretty much avoiding people. I spend a lot of time, leave me alone, you know, like that's kind of how I have been. And even though at the same time, I'm like, I want community. I want people to be with me, like-minded, like-hearted souls. And at the same time, here I am like, oh, I can't take other people, you know what I mean? But I'm happy to say that I've actually transcended a lot of that in the last month or so. You know, once something changed for me, like a person that I was avoiding for a very long time, I'll just say my sister, all of a sudden I was able to take her call and tell her exactly how I felt, and she took it very well, and it was very loving and nice. And it's like a whole many months of this energy just dissolved in a moment. So, you know, it's really cool to see how things can change quickly when you just decide to, like let go of something, or you don't even decide to do it. It just, you know, over time it happens. And I think that, you know, a lot of people probably can identify with that question. And yet everybody in that whole play is playing a role that you asked them to play. And if something's coming up, if you're getting annoyed with people, it's just because there's something still inside of you. Because if once you no longer have that program, there's no annoyance. You're not getting annoyed. You're so neutral, Franco. You probably never get annoyed with people, right?
Well, I can't say never. I can't say never, because there are times that I feel, come on, guys, move on. Because you'd like to see a collective shift, right? So you would really like to see people just move on and instead of repeating it. But that's just kind of in a moment where you, and then you say, well, okay, I know everybody's perfect where they need to be and do whatever it is. So I do have a human aspect of myself too, and it does play a certain part of the role because of the fact it keeps me linked to what humans experience. I mean, I don't have it to the same degree by any means, but at the same time, for the stuff that I see behind the scenes, I mean, you have to be neutral. If you're not, you're basically, I'm just going to throw this out, you're seeing everything that's happening all over the world on a high speed, and you're going in, shifting their consciousness. So you're actually materializing or consciously showing up in an area where there's, you know, and a lot of times there's darker stuff going on, you know, where people playing various roles with one another, and you're seeing the deeper, denser, the lower aspect of human playing out all over the world, because you pop in and all over the place, and you're going in, this is when you're out of body, you're going in and you're making shifting in consciousness. I mean, if you actually would take any of that stuff personally or be activated from it, and you're not in a neutral state, I mean, it would be a hellhole going through all the stuff that you get to see doing this type of work. Right. So you have to get to that point. And it took a while of conditioning, of deprogramming, because there was a certain level of programming that I had taken on also to experience the human experience as I started doing the work. And it was really pushing always to get to the neutral state, completely neutral, because you can't, first of all, you can't come in with judgment, because then your programming is not going to be absolutely clear what you need to modify. And then second of all, you cannot be affected by what you see, because you're seeing it, people killing each other, doing whatever it is. You can't take on and say, oh, my God, look at this. You know, you're basically looking at it and say, okay, they're playing that role. Okay, this is your automatic response, and you know each soul is going wherever they need to go. But you go in and change now the programs. So you have to get to that level of neutrality. And it allows you to do that work. But at the same time, it makes it easier to navigate through life, because when you're not, you just show up wherever you need to go. And I can't say it, the energies on the planet Earth always feel that great. They never feel great, really, when you are operating at a different frequency. So you're actually working in a low frequency. But it's not affecting you in a sense where, you know, you're taken down or you're feeling bad because the energies in the general are lower. No, not at all. You just observe it. You see it. And it's like, you know, this is not, it's not, you know, the ideal space I would love to be working at, but I need to be here. This is my work. So I agreed to be here, and I'm going to continue working with this, and that's it. But you're definitely in a neutral state. And so when I'm sharing stuff that how it feels to be in a neutral state and how things play out and how you have the freedom to maneuver and have much more capability and consciousness to play with, is because it's from first-hand experience. In the sense is, I could see what it felt like when there were certain programs in place, and I could imagine because I have tuned into and connected and seen through the eyes and the mindset of 1,000-plus people over a decade of time, you know, a couple of decades ago, a decade and a half ago, actually. When I went through that phase, I could see, you know, what you can experience while you're operating on programs. So being programless, in a sense, whoa, it's a lot more, it's a lot broader, it's a lot freer, it's a lot more fun, it's a lot more experientially rich, and you're never as restricted in regards to wherever, because then you can flow through anything, everything, and it's like it doesn't matter. Like, we can have our conversation right now, like we are, and, you know, somebody can say something that would be rude, for example, okay? Not that that's going to happen, and if it doesn't, that. But if something was rude, or, you know, somebody doesn't get a joke properly or something, and would respond in you know, feeling offended or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
It would change the whole dynamic, because now you have to be careful what you're saying. But by not having any of that active, it doesn't matter what plays out. You're going to have fun with all of it. You're not affected by it. You're not saying, well, there's somebody that's rude, or there's somebody that's not loving, or that, you know, are not so compassionate or anything like that. You don't even go into any of that. It doesn't matter. And it's so much easier to play with people. It's so much easier to be in relationships. It's so much easier when you're not a hot target or a hot, what do you call it? Flammable, let's call it that, because
you have
to, you know, be responsible. Could you imagine just playing with somebody, and it doesn't matter what you say, how you say it, whatever it is, what it's meant, but the person's chillaxed and having fun with you and doesn't take anything offensive. You can say, you can be open yourself, and, for example, say there's something that irritates you about the person, whatever it is, and you say it to them, and they say, well, you know, yeah, I can see that, how that would irritate you, but let's play with whatever, you know, is irritating for you, and let's take a look at that. I mean, the whole relationship would be different. Imagine if somebody's sensitive, which, you know, many people are still, and working their way through it, and, you know, you have to be careful what you say, and if you say it a certain way, they get pissed off, and then there's the ego thing that kicks in where, you know, you're not looking at each other or caring for each other, or you're not talking to each other, or you're angry towards each other. You know, that's a very different experience, and that is still very 3D, which is, you know, we're stepping out of it. When you go into the complete neutrality, wide open, you have a heck of a lot more fun. You can now go areas and do things that you never would have before, because before you were so afraid. And the same thing, like we started before. We don't. You're not in neutrality. You're not concerned about protection. You're not in concern about, you know, being psychically attacked. You're not concerned about anybody's frequency. You're not concerned about what anybody says. Can you imagine? You can do anything. You can be anywhere. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're, you know, grinning from year to year if you want, and have fun with it.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. Yay. That's what we're all hopefully moving towards in the fifth dimension. And, you know, before we run out of time, can you believe it? It's already, like, let's see. It's 10:30 basically. 10:29. So time just flies by when we're together, because it's just fascinating, and there's never like a short answer. I thought that was so funny in that interview with that guy, that guy from Norway. He says to you, he says, "Can you tell us about your past and your history, very brief? And you said something like, I don't even remember what you said, but I just was laughing, you know, and you're like, well, we'll try, or, you know, you laughed about it. It's like, it's really hard to tell a brief story because there's so many different ways you can go with things. But before we bring this to a close, I did want to touch briefly. I know that you and I talked earlier today about the dimensions or the densities, and also we talked about the fact that you've been asked about it on every show you did last week, on the Missy Hill show, on Elizabeth Diamond's show, on Antonia's show. You were talking about it, and here I am, and I'm going to bring it up again. So this is my best friend's question. So this is my friend Lainey's question. So I just want to, you know, so I'm reframing the question. So this is regarding dimensions or density. And I know that we understand, you know, we can all talk about dimensions or densities. We're in the 3D, but according to you and a lot of other people, we've moved into the fourth dimension. But some people talk of the fourth dimension as being the astral plane or the place where we have our dreams or the collective unconscious. And we know that we're moving into the 5D. You know, what I'm kind of interested in knowing is, what do you have to say about the first dimension and the second dimension? Like, what exists on those levels? And is there, like, consciousness on those levels as well?
Well, those dimensions don't really exist any longer because there's no souls that are still operating in that range. So that was long, long time ago when those states of consciousness were there. It was just a limitation. First of all, it's a level of consciousness, but it's also what you can experience. The physicalities in that point didn't operate anywhere near the way ours does, or the physicalities of higher dimensions, because the fact it doesn't have the same levels of reception, it did not have as many different ways to experience itself. It was very linear. You know, it didn't have as much flexibility in the sense of what it can do and shift. It was basically every channel of experience or frequency went in, and you were just basically there until you got massive saturation in it, and then you moved on to something else. So it wasn't where there's a progressive growing of consciousness or actual use of mind and having split between what you can call ego mind, conscious mind, subconscious mind, superconscious, and none of that stuff worked out. Basically, it was not as part of the experience. So those realms do not exist any longer. We've transcended that. The third dimension is something that is in the process of being wrapped up everywhere. Now, our particular third dimension is quite different than most of the standard dimensions. This is an experimental modification third dimension. And as you said, I did speak about it on the other shows, where, you know, traditional design of a third dimension is, of course, is what we are experiencing in the physical form, but it would be a dimension where we use consciousness to promote ourselves, to expand and to grow and to prepare ourselves to go into a fourth dimension. Our modified dimension that we're experiencing, or have been experiencing for some 10,000 years now, is designed to actually not progress but degress, in the sense where it basically you would not be able to move forward. Everything would push you to stay in your state or lower, basically. So it's very different in that regard of what we're experiencing. Now, you mentioned dimensions and densities. I mean, again, densities are just the realism of the physical form or physical world. So the higher densities you go into, the less realism and intensities we need to create, or that means limits within the range of what the performance of the what we call form of any form operates per se. So then we have the densities, dimensions, and then the dimensions are different because the dimensions are different dimensions of consciousness, and then the dimensions of the planets would be the planets that would host a certain level of consciousness that would support the souls that are operating in that dimensional consciousness. So there is a certain truth to the fact that the fourth dimension was utilized in the dream state. We are still utilizing the dream state fourth and fifth dimensional consciousness, in some cases sixth dimensional consciousness. The dream state is being used to project, to experience a certain level of reality and create an opening within ourselves so that what we cannot experience in the physical form, say for example we're still operating in third dimension, in the physical form, meaning physical form and mind because of the programs. So we're still in the 3D world, meaning we're still referring ourselves to a physical body, saying this is who I am, and who I am is my education, my career, my physicality, my gender, my my experience and so forth. And this is all there is. This is me, my physicality and all my little definitions and stories. So if you're still in that third dimensional, you do use the dream state to transcend that and go into the fourth or fifth. In this case, if you're totally third, you're only going and taking little stabs into the fourth, where you get a taste of what fourth dimensional consciousness is like. So you now create realities and experiences you cannot do in the physical form while you're still heavy in the mind construct to in third dimension to experience yourself into fourth. So this is why it's being referred that, you know, fourth is in the dream state. In a case, it is utilized as part of it. And at one point in time when the planet was in third dimensional consciousness, yes, the only way to access fourth was in the dream state, or to access fifth was in the dream state, because chances are to experience it in the physical form was very difficult to access because the planet is still vibrating, it was vibrating in third, and all the collective was also operating in third dimensional consciousness. Now, because we're floating back and forth from third to fourth to fifth, in this case, there are some souls in fifth, some souls in fourth, and some souls are in, a lot of souls are in third, and a lot of souls in between the third are going third and fourth because they're switching back and forth. And you've had those experiences yourself, Claudia, where you feel at certain times you're in a state of higher consciousness and everything is like ease, it flows, now you're tasting fourth and possibly part of fifth, and then all of a sudden something gets triggered, you now go into densities, you now see a smaller version of the world, of yourself and who you are, and now you're caught into the drama and whatever that is. Now you're visiting the third dimensional consciousness because you have not completed third. And this is the reason we go back and forth, is because we're creating completions in the third so that we can move into the fourth. Now, as of January of this year, 2014, we have achieved full integration in the fourth dimensional consciousness of the planet. That means the planet's vibrational frequency supports state of consciousness of fourth. So that means staying in third is much more difficult, and this is the reason people are having challenges in playing in their 3D world. It starts to feel more superficial. It starts to feel more unreal. It starts to feel uncomfortable. It starts to feel heavy, dense, and to a point where it doesn't even resonate with them any longer, is because the planet's vibration is vibrating at fourth, so we're in a different environment. So energetically, it's supporting us to move into fourth, of course. And, of course, when we integrate into fourth, we are already starting preparation into fifth. So fifth dimensional consciousness entry point will be in the early part of 2015, and that is when the planet starts to vibrate and hold the frequency of fifth, and it will take about a full year to integrate itself. So it won't be until the early part of basically 2016, that we will be, the planet will be operating in fifth dimensional consciousness. Now, of course, the souls will have to migrate or upgrade itself accordingly by the completion of third and fourth, going into fifth. So by the time we get into 17, which we've kind of created a lag of time to switch into it, so let's say by the end of 2017, we, on the planet itself, it could be before that, so anytime between the beginning of 2017 to the end of 2017, we would be at a point where we would be into the collective consciousness of the planet, meaning all the souls on the planet will be at least in fifth dimensional consciousness, and the planet itself will be operating there. And then from that point, we will start creating much more in alignment with our higher. So what is fifth dimensional consciousness? It is a consciousness where we connect with the higher aspect of ourselves, knowing that we are a being of pure potentiality. We are source of self having a human experience. And we will now use consciousness of creator essence much more fully. We will experience things a lot quicker. We will be able to activate some more of our capabilities of doing things that we would see impossible at this point in time. But as we go into that consciousness, of course, fourth and fifth dimensional consciousness, especially fifth, is oneness consciousness, where we see that we're all aspects of ourselves. Fully. It's not only a mind, you know, logically I understand it, but I can't feel it. I don't sense a connection. There you will live that connection. Any choice you make, you will see the opportunity for all involved, to be participating, all involved, to be affected in a way of, you know, moving forward growth or whatever you want to call it. So in essence, you know, the separation will no longer exist as a reality. We would be just something that we've experienced, but we're not there any longer. So that gives you a little idea of what we're looking at. Now, we are moving forward, and I will say this again, and I've said it before. It's not that we're going to fall behind because a lot of souls are still going to be in third-dimensional consciousness for a period of time. They are being pushed to the max, and it's agreed upon souls. You have to understand collectively and all. The collective choice of moving forward encompasses more than what we call the collective souls on the planet Earth, because we're all interconnected. So we have our brother sister souls on other planets, which are all the facets of ourselves that are involved in promoting the movement from third to fourth to fifth. Now, the activations that we are experiencing right now is being induced by other aspects of ourselves and induced as a collective. It is not being done by ourselves, by our own consciousness advancement. It is being done by inducement of energies and frequencies coming in and consciousness that is being streamed down. Of course, we are the ones that are the recipient receivers and that are transforming or aligning and rewiring and so forth to match that so that we can start reflecting it, so that our world will actually reflect more of that. So the world will reflect more fourth and fifth or more fifth dimensional consciousness as we move forward. Now, depending on how quickly and everything else, it could take up to 5 to 10 years to be fully, you know, reflective in fifth dimensional consciousness because of the fact that we will have a lot of the stuff that we will modify along the way. But it can take a lot faster, too, because it is being stimulated in a way so that it moves a lot quicker, but also not taking the opportunity from the souls to complete what they need to complete. Now, any soul that is stuck in the third dimensional consciousness in a sense where they're not going to be able to complete with all the energies that are here, they will have the opportunity to incarnate on another planet, which, and there are several, that are still operating in third dimensional consciousness, but the operating system will not be of the similarity of here, meaning because it won't have a modified third dimensional consciousness. It will be the natural third-dimensional consciousness, which will promote growth, which will promote moving into fourth and fifth.
Oh, that's nice.
Did I miss out anything that you wanted to know? I can cover some more.
Oh, man, no, you're awesome. You actually did you did 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, honestly, the person, you know, Helene, when she asked about this question, then she gave me a bunch of information about the dimensions or densities, which are, you're more referring to like the type of consciousness that's inherent in each dimension. She was actually talking about the beings that exist in the different dimensions or densities. And, but that's, you know, that's another topic that we could go on. And I think what you shared was so brilliant and so cogent to what we're all experiencing now, and just makes me so hopeful and excited. I don't even want to say hopeful. I don't even use hope, implies like expectancy, you know. But it just, it's all unfolding as it should. And you know, there was one thing that I thought of this. You know I mentioned to you this guy Matt Kahn. And he's somebody that I really like listening to now. He's got videos out on YouTube. And he's from Seattle. But he is saying that there's a date, September 27, 2015, that at that date, one-third of the population will be ascended into the fifth dimension. Does that resonate with you? Does that feel true?
It's a high probability for that to occur. Right now, that's something that is being considered. It is being staged to play out that way. It is part of the process of advancing the movement forward. Because if we can have a third of the population going into fifth dimensional consciousness, but again, these will have to be souls that will be ready, and a lot of them are not ready yet. So in essence, there's a lot of work to be done. So if we can do that, that it will stimulate. Because the actual fact is that, and this is what will bring in all the other stuff that's coming in, is that the plan is to have a third of the souls at least into fifth dimensional consciousness at the time that the planet itself will be in full integration, which will be in the beginning of 2016. So the planet will be fully integrated into fifth dimensional consciousness. Now, there will still be fourth on the planet and possibly a few, a smaller percentage of third still on the planet. That's the plan. That's the direction it's heading. Will it all unfold exactly perfectly is always unknown. It's always unknown because even stuff that's been shared in the past does get altered and shifted a little bit based on the collective souls and how, you know, how ready they are and how much, you know, they stream to the fact that they want this to remain at a certain level of while, how can I say, while they can complete what they need to complete. So that's the thing. The one thing I wanted to mention with what Helene was saying, and just I know we'll have another conversation around this. You have to understand that dimensions are, they're bands of frequency. They're states of consciousness. Now, each state of consciousness have different beings. So the fact that humanity is in third, there are other beings that are in third. There are other beings on fourth. There are beings on fifth, on sixth and seventh. And they're not just one specific set of beings. There are multitudes of planets reflecting those states of consciousness in different physicalities with different different playgrounds and schoolyards. So there is more than one. So it's like, you know, the schools in the United States, Canada, or any place in the world, grade one is being offered in many different schools. Okay? And grade two is the same, and three, and so forth. So when we're talking about dimensions, those are bands of frequency, and there are a variety of planets that will reflect it, but in different forms and different physicalities, which we will play with a little further. And that's what kind of what Helene is referring to. And maybe not totally exactly. She may be referring a little more. But there is, there are, you know, different. So you can turn around and say, well, you know, the Syrians are fourth and fifth, but then there are fourth and fifth and sixth, you know, in depending on the different species there are. The human species vary too. So, but you know, the planets are reflective too in that state. Now, when I'm talking about those vibrations, of course, the planet reflects it differently. It actually operates slightly differently to match that. So, in essence, the consciousness it supports is different. Now, that does not mean the conscious, the fifth dimensional consciousness for humanity is going to be similar to what the Pleiadians are operating on fifth dimensional consciousness. Of course, their experience is going to be different. The consciousness axis may be the same in the sense of knowing self in a different way or a similar way, let's call it that. But then how it actually projects itself, how it actually experiences itself, and how it reflects it on the planet, and, well, the playground school there at this point, will be different. Remember, we are, the reason we have the multitudes of species, the reason we have the multitudes of playgrounds and school there is to create variety and various vantage point expressions. We learn from a multitude of expression. That's why each human is slightly different. Each one of us, each being has a slightly different signature that we cannot repeat the exact duplicate of one another. Even twin souls have the same signature, but they go out and have different they're the closest to each other in the sense of having the same band of frequency, but it still chooses to have different experiences because we want to create a variety. So if we're creating a canvas reflecting something huge as being source itself, each pixel will be slightly different to create the holistic viewpoint of the of source itself. So anyways, I thought I'd better throw that in. But anyways, I'll let you carry on.
That's so beautiful, the way you just put that together. That was just brilliant. And makes me just feel so good. And people in the chat are really liking it. So this has been an awesome show. It's flowed really nicely. And the topics are just all really interrelated. And I'm so psyched we got to talk about the dimensions yet again. Because I think
you'll notice
so fascinating.
All of them are...
I'm sorry. Yeah,
and you'll notice
ahead,
that it's always a little bit different based on the people, how they want to hear it. And it's not that the information is different. You just come in with another part of it. Because everything is so expansive. You know, it's like anything. You know, that's why when you ask a question, there's so many different things we feel that we need to cover because they're all interconnected. You know, you start one thing, it connects to something else. So if you get one piece of the puzzle, you want to see what the rest of the pieces or another piece of the puzzle and another. Of course, you have to cut off at some point and say, okay, I got to stop because if I stay on that, to, you know, just continue to go. Because to paint the whole picture, we're going to be talking more than 3 hours. We're going to be talking for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? So,
well, clearly,
And then there's so much we can digest, too, based on our state at this moment, right?
I'm really thinking that the next step for us will be to have, like, a retreat. I mean, maybe you come down to Saratoga. We'll do a retreat here, the whole weekend of Franco, because 3 hours, even 3 hours isn't enough. So, or maybe we'll do it in Lake George. There's supposed to be like a stargate or a portal there, which is very close to where I live. But, you know, people like us, we just love being like swimming in this density. This is a very high vibrational density and a beautiful place to come to a close in the show. And it's 10:53 Eastern Standard Time. So we have a few minutes left to bring it to a close. And what a great place to end and to know for all of us, I think there's that sense of relief that we are moving forward as we should. And you know, the work that we all are doing right now and having these shows and coming together in community and everybody really learning to speak their truth and go into their higher heart, it is creating a shift. And more people are awakening. I definitely feel it. And the key is, to me at least, and I think to you as well and to many of our listeners, is really in embodying that sense of oneness, unity consciousness, and unconditional love. You know, because when we can remember that that other person that's triggering us is just another aspect of us who's here to help us realize that we have things left that we need to realize and let go of, then it's like all perfection and everything is as it's meant to be. And it's just a great place to be. So thank you so much, Franco, for sharing with us tonight and for you know, such gems that you really imparted to us. I feel great. So once again, in that space that, you know, it's like it makes you feel so much better when you're in this high vibrational, higher consciousness perspective. I don't know, everything flows. And so this is really great. So thanks so much.
Well, you're welcome, and it's my pleasure. And one of the things that we have right now that you've alluded to is the fact that, you know, we're in a planet right now that basically is in a flux of vibrations that will support third, fourth, and fifth. So we're basically, you know, you're not in one band here. You have all of it, and you can move from one to the other. That's the beauty of it for the time being. So that's why you can do so much. I mean, it's supporting all three at this point in time. And so, I mean, it's not supporting it fully, but I'm just saying it's you can maneuver yourself through that. So It's an amazing, amazing time to be here. And I really thank everybody for participating, because everybody held the energy, and each one of you that are expanding consciousness, each one of you that are participating, is affecting the whole. I mean, this is the beauty of it. We are affecting each other. And this is the other part of it. You know, like you were saying, the souls, the people are other aspects of yourself, are facilitating each other to grow, because each person that moves forward affects every other one, every single other soul at the same time. So it's like this: I'm going to help you raise your vibration, move up and do it, because I'm affected by it too, and we're all, you know, moving forward. So let's do it. And
The
reason we are getting together and doing this, and, you know, here we are.
Yay. Oh, it's awesome. Wow, what a great show. This has been really, I've been really enjoying this, and it just gets better and better each show with you. And, you know, our audience is growing, and people are really feeling bonded, and everybody this past week has felt in, like, the Franco vibe. And, you know, Elizabeth and Elizabeth Diamond, Missy Hill, have been in the chat room the whole time and talking about their shows with you, and everybody just feels so blessed to know you. So let's just, we only have a couple minutes left, so is there any closing statement you have for our listeners tonight, Franco, or is there anything you want to say, any events and that you can say in just a couple of minutes' time while we're closing?
Well, we have a retreat coming up, and that's in July, the 11th, 12th, and 13th of July. It's here in Canada. It's in the northern, sort of the northern part. It is in nature. It would be myself and James Fu, which is, he's a very gifted person to see energy, move energy, and actually he's going to be working on codes, which he's also sharing, that people can utilize as help them with their transformation and so forth. And it'll be a great opportunity to come together in a community on a physical level to play. And there will be modalities that we'll be playing out, or, you know, different energy connections, meditations, deprogramming and so forth, that we'll be playing. We will be also connecting with nature and so forth. So there's a lot that we will be doing. Anyone that feels called can join us. You can go either on my website, on the right hand side you'll see the retreat little
link
blurb there. So the link, you click on that, and it'll take you to the full page that explains everything that we're going to be doing and so forth. And it'll grow from that. That's just giving you a little basis to work on. You could register.
I have to
and
stop
everything
you. We
there.
Have.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry. We have less than a minute, so I just got the lady that said 90 seconds, and now it's 60 seconds. I don't do an English accent very well when I'm under pressure, but believe me, we're running out of time. So if anybody needs any more information, francodinicola.com is your website, and they can send you an email or a Facebook message, or they can maybe talk to me, and maybe I'll be able to get through to you. But thank you so much for being here with us, Franco. Thanks to everyone. I want to remind people that I have a show next week. It's at 9 o'clock Eastern, and it's with Matthew Bueno. And Franco, you and I will have to determine our next show and let everybody know on Facebook. Last 10 seconds of the show. I love you, Franco. I love everyone, and thanks so much for a wonderful show. Thanks, everybody, for being with us tonight.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. Much love to all.
Okay, good night. Much love. Good night. Namaste.